Given that this may be freedom's last stand and its greatest end, we have the greatest opportunity. The same technology that might pass it into darkness forever might rise us to the light in perpetuity. And I think it's that essential a crossroad. It's a race, and we are in incredible vehicles. Right there is the vehicle of the bad guys over to our right.
And they are
hitting the gas with everything they can. They are passing as many laws as they can. They are using as much indoctrination as they can. They get as much media as they can. They are posing as much as they can. And there's this fucked up, endless tentacle of brain-crushing technology called the internet, which is racing them to the finish line. And we better hit the fucking gas, because if we lose, I don't think anyone's going to win again in the future. But if we win for good in every sense of the word. And I think that we have a damn good shot, but it is all about the efficacy, the focus, the intensity, the passion, and the conviction that we bring to bear, that we bring to bear on these essential questions of voluntarism versus violence. It's the only two, right? Those are the two massive motorcycle car spaceships we're driving at 12 million. It's violence versus voluntarism. They edge ahead sometimes, we edge ahead sometimes. We've got to hit the gas, because they're not going to pull back. They're not going to hold up. This is an ancient race. And their dependents who wish to rule and command the human soul and the human spirit. And we've got to hit the fucking gas. They're not going to slow down. They're not going to turn aside. And either they hit the wall or we do, metaphorically. And so all I say is, fuck where we end up. We don't control that. Fuck where the people listen to us. We don't control that. The only thing that we control is the power and the intensity and the focus and the reason and the evidence and the passion that we bring to this calling. That's all we can control. The vulnerability of wanting the world to get better is a terrifying place to be at times. The vulnerability of having children and needing the world to get better. I am so embarrassed to introduce this planet to my daughter. This planet better shape the fuck up before I have to introduce it to my daughter, because I don't want to describe the shit that goes down in this world to my daughter. It's an embarrassment. It is an embarrassment to have to describe war. It is an embarrassment to have to describe it. It's so embarrassing. It is an embarrassment to describe this planet better shape the fuck down. It is an embarrassment to describe national debt, what has been done to her before she was even born. This world better shape the fuck up so I can introduce the planet to my daughter, and I'm going to do everything that I can to help that along, with the full knowledge that there's absolutely nothing I could do to affect it.
What up, what up? What up, Vigilantes? What up, Alex? What's up?
Yo, that beat sounded familiar.
Maybe it's yours.
Is that Freedance?
What up, Vigilantes? What up, Alex? What's up?
Yo, that beat sounded familiar.
Maybe it's yours.
Is that Freedance?
Damn, I can't even remember. I think I made that beat like 8 years ago or something. Yeah, that was a Free Nuts unreleased. I think that's like a SoundCloud exclusive. That was super rare. Unexpected. I haven't heard that one in a while.
Wow,
nice gem
treat.
From the crates. Vigilante, yeah. Taking out the rare gems. Appreciate that. Yeah, Stefan Molyneux. Shout out to Stefan. Woke up a lot of us up.
For sure. Well, welcome everyone. Thank you for tuning in here. This is the pregame party. And without any need for introduction, we do have Rafael Alverde here, the crypto vigilante. He's been busting his tail to put together one of the first ordinal events that Crypto Vigilante has ever done. And we're very blessed to be here in the room today to speaking of which, we just had Jack Lou enter the room. Very, very special time live. And I'll just open up the floor to Rafael. Would you like to kind of go over some things that you want to share this evening?
Let's get him up here.
How's everyone doing?
So, I'm just happy to be here, guys. See Jack Lou's in the house. He's going to be our keynote speaker at the event. And there's so much to talk about because the on-chain economy world tends to be very, very much siloed into different networks still. And there is a lack of awareness as to what's happening in other networks. So, yeah. So, and to bring together many different cultures within crypto and many different on-chain native economies that are emerging, because as you guys know, everyone has a favorite. I have my own favorite, blockchain native me, but there are others. And I think it's important to learn about these others. And I think, and that's why we're bringing everyone together. So I'm pretty sure that even the speakers are going to have a lot to learn. So how are you feeling tonight, Matt?
I'm tired, man. We've been grinding like what? We didn't even sleep last night. It's just so exciting. There's so much to do. And the speed at which this sector within blockchain is emerging, it's just, it's so fast that it's challenging me to, you know, really develop the mind-body-spirit connection, to have the energy, the focus, to stay inspired. Because that's what I've noticed. I mean, fundamentally, there's no reason to not be inspired, but we're just working so hard that my body's just like, go to sleep. But like, you know.
This out, guys. Like, months before Casey Rodemore put out the, what we know now as the Ordinals Theory, we had a very special conference in the heart of Costa Rica, the Korean conference hosted by Jack Liu. And the Crypto Vigilante team was there. I know Alex was there, Matt was there. Why don't you guys tell everyone about what you learned about in that conference? What was your experience like? Because something really interesting happened. That after that conference, we came back to our everyday lives, and it was as if the world of crypto at large was listening into our conference and what we were talking about. And all of a sudden, all of the conversations that we had at Korean started becoming true and started manifesting themselves in different networks. Like, you had Ordinals, then you had Dojinals, then you had things like Frentech. So I know even within that conference, we were talking about an idea like Frentech. We were talking about an idea like, we called it the creator token. Nowadays, they call it the social token. So I'd love to hear, you know, it's been, what, over a year now? It's been a good year since that Cambrian conference. And Alex was there and Matt was also there. So I want to know y'all's take on what it has been for you since that conference to now.
Yeah.
Go
ahead, Alex.
Yeah, I mean, it's just sort of a lot of validating. You know, like, for example, you mentioned the Frentech thing that just, you know, has been all the buzz in crypto lately. And that was definitely something that was one of the ideas that was talked about a lot. Basically, like that very same idea was proposed by, I believe, Jack on like the second day after, you know, they spent all night like trying to come up with something, and that was it. So that was, you know, since then, that's one funny thing that, you know, but just meeting a lot of these big block builders that, you know, have just been trying to use innovative ways to, you know, use the blockchain and figure out what to do with these capabilities of data on chain. And then the Ordinals explosion, like, happening basically like a couple months after that event, and just seeing how all these builders were able to so quickly pivot and put their skills to use in the marketplace and show people who were hungry for, you know, new insights of what the blockchain can do. Show you know, these people all this cool stuff that can be done with, you know, OrdSwap and Ordinals Wallet and Unisat. And it's been really interesting to watch the Ordinals stuff develop. Like you said, so much changing so quickly with all the different, you know, like, they were talking about attribute stuff on a space I was listening to a couple hours ago. I'm really looking forward to the event on Friday. And it's cool to hang out with you guys again. Matt, shout out, Schwank, Jack, Raphael.
Yo, Alex, so like, before Cambrian, you were working with me at Crypto Vigilante. After Cambrian, and, you know, it's almost like you got you went to an isolation chamber to become a badass entrepreneur, and now you have two endeavors in the Ordinal space. Why don't you tell us about that?
I guess you're talking about the Yes Chads. That's a project that's coming out soon, perpetually soon, TM. But no, we're looking to make that like the longest standing anticipated thing, rivaling with the Nakamoto cars, possibly. But yeah, no, I think the Chads is going to be that really catches on. People love the Chad memes, and you know, we're just sort of you know, capitalizing on a trend that already is out there, and we were able to get you know, some really great art and really great variety with some fun, unique characters and historical figures for the Yes Chads collection. So we've got some fun plans on different directions that we're going to take that in. And yeah, I guess the first Ordinals project I inscribed was 21 Fortune Cookies, and you know, I didn't really do much with it. It's just an experiment that I did back in February 18th. And only one has sold on OrdSwap, but you know, it wasn't really like something I was like trying to make a bunch of money on. It was something that I was fascinated by the idea of putting, you know, art on BTC. So we had just all been doing it on BSV a lot in the few months prior. So yeah, the Bitcoin Fortunes are out there too. Those are actually pretty early inscriptions, and it's fun.
Right on. So we got Schwank in the house. He's another artist. Nomi is an artist. Matt Welsh is an artist. So you know, it's I've always said that artists are the most important people in crypto. And you know, my thing has always been like, the engineers created the spaceships, the marketers and the businessmen came and they gave these spaceships the fuel, but the pilots of these spaceships are artists. So I want to welcome all of you guys here. Thank you for being an inspiration to all of us, because without art, we really don't have a vision. Hello, Nomi. How are you? I know you have a commitment like 30 minutes with us, you told me. So how are you doing?
Hey, GM, Raphael. With the new PFP, hard to recognize you, but it's a cool one. Yeah, I'm doing good. Really bring everything for Friday, you know, to be on the best level. Just have like a couple questions. By the way, thank you so much for sharing, though, like your expression and vision of artists. Like, it's really cool because I also see like artists are bringing so much, you know, inspiration to other people. And for me, like blockchain is really like a tool that I'm using for bringing my art. And like, for me, like giving art is about culture. I'm more like reflecting what's going on and like just transcending it, you know, through myself and then bringing it back to people through different tools like AI tools or different applications. So that's why they were saying this appreciation of art, but from a crypto person, you know, for me, that means a lot. So thank you so much. I have a couple questions like about the summit. What's the, you know, the details? Do you have any list of speakers? Because I really want to listen. Like any details, I would be happy to learn and to know. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. We'll put that on the Nest shortly. I think it's there actually right now. If you go to the Nest, thank you, Alex, for sharing that. You'll see the link that will take you to the website for the speakers. As you guys know, the Crypto Vigilante is a financial newsletter. So we're bridging the world of finance and crypto pretty much, right? And that's why I think that having artists are the bridges to everything and to everyone. So crypto and Bitcoin, they free the market, but what frees the human mind is art. So art to me is the most important thing. So thank you so much for being here, Nomi. That's right there. It's on the Nest for you. So Matt is an artist as well. He's a musician, and he's one of our co-hosts of the event. And Matt also went to Cambrian, and he's always been, you know, someone that's like very much involved in technology and always, you know, like dealt with Web 2. And why don't you tell us your story at Cambrian and where we are now?
Yeah, it's really be an honor. Thanks, Raph. So I got to be honest, like I discovered Bitcoin when it hit 20K in 2017, knew nothing about the technology. Blockchain, what's that? So it took a long time. I mean, this was a year ago at Cambrian SV. I mean, gosh, 5 years almost or more, I knew nothing about Bitcoin. I just knew that, like, I struggled my whole life, like, trying to find the fans and the resources to get my art out to the world. And so when I saw Bitcoin hit 20K, I said, something's here. And while most people looked the other way and said, ah, it's a bubble, you know, everyone got wrecked, I didn't stop. Like, that was the beginning for me. And I've gone from knowing absolutely nothing about this technology to learning everything I can, from charting and technical analysis to the research and analysis. Technically, that's called fundamental analysis, such as what Crypto Vigilante provides. And I kind of pride myself as being like one of the few students and readers and subscribers of TCV, like from the beginning. I'm a fan and subscriber foremost, that really worked my way up to integrating the information and what was being taught from my predecessors, from my mentors, you know, my teachers like Raphael. And now come to the point where I've launched my own product and service where I can now pay it forward and teach that as a way to accompany my art. So really have to give big hats off to Jack Liu for putting that whole event together, because it really was like an intensive. I didn't know what to expect going into that. I'd never been to Costa Rica before. My first girlfriend was Costa Rican. So I'm like, all right, I think it's a sign from the universe. So let's just go all in. But when I got there, I just really didn't expect to like be in a room full of 20 of the brightest minds in Bitcoin and blockchain. And through putting our minds together, through sharing our struggles and our stories, I was able to really have an awakening moment of like, oh my God, like Bitcoin is not just a currency. It's the new internet. It truly is Web 3.0. So I listen like a sponge, man. I just absorbed. And I ask questions, really hard questions, you know, even if I felt like maybe I'm sounding stupid. I'm just a rocker from New Jersey. I don't know what I'm talking about, but I was embraced. I was embraced by everyone. They're like, no, man, it's cool, man. This is what this means. And by the time we got to the end of the event, here I am up at the front of the room, like presenting, you know, and everyone's just like, yeah, man, take the stage, like share what you've got going on. And I said, you know, I've been struggling in the Web 2.0 world since 2012. I was literally at the cutting edge of that technology on the internet when business and marketing was first really being used the way that it is so used now. I mean, I was learning from literally the guy that made $17 million, actually $27 million, using marketing funnels and creating landing pages and such for the first time. And that's when Facebook was actually relevant. It wasn't the worst platform ever. And years later, I ended up working beside that guy, Jonathan Budd. He runs a company now called Power, and they're decentralizing the energy industry with solar. And it's just, it's amazing where technology will take you. But I was up there at the front of the room just sharing my heart and saying, I've been here like at the cutting edge using these tools, the funnels, the ad, you name it, like every trick strategy in the book. And just like nothing was working to break me out onto the world stage. Meanwhile, so many of my friends with the cheesiest music and the worst production and no heart, a bunch of sellouts, were playing arenas and clubs year after year. And I sat there and said, when is going to be my time? And I realized that, dude, for me to stay in this Web 2 world, I'm not meant to. And so literally a year since that time, I've been a fly on the wall. I've been integrating and trying to do my best to keep up with everything that's been unfolding since then. As Raph said, it has played out. I mean, nobody's got a crystal ball, but almost everything we talked about in that room over the course of that week has played out to some extent and is only the beginning. And so I'm just so excited Friday just to share with you guys like what I built. It's not totally on the blockchain yet, but it will be. It's truly my dream to take Bitcoin and understand it the way it's meant to be. You know, the way that's been neglected and scorned, and to just show the world that like this is the greatest time to be alive, but you got to be in the right room with the right people as I feel we are today. So yeah, I just want to thank Raphael especially, man, because he saw something in me that was like, this artist is like, he's going to be a voice for Bitcoin. And that's really the opportunity that each and every one of us here have moving forward. And I commend you for having the courage to pursue that fire within, right? When everyone, it seems, just doesn't get it. You know, they just don't see that you are the future. You are. And you're leading by example. And I gotta say, I mean, Jack Lew really, he stole my heart, man. That this guy touched my soul in a way that I have hardly spoken with him since that event. And there's just such a connection I feel to this man. I truly feel he's the future of blockchain in a way that this industry needs thought leaders, and he is one of them. And he will be our keynote speaker on Friday. And I think it's every one of ours individual and personal responsibility to make sure that we get everyone we can on this event. It is free. It's only free live, right? That's the skin of the game. You gotta make some time to be there, right? And then stick around to the end, hear what this man has to say, to see what's up his sleeve, because it's going to be big. I've said a lot, so let me pass the mic, man. Pass the mic.
What's up, Shrunk? What's going on, Shrunk?
What's up, Raph? What's up, Jack? Hey, Matt, I remember seeing you in an interview at that event, and that was one of the only things I actually, like, caught from that event. I wasn't able to catch most of it, but I also want to echo just how awesome the Crypto Vigilante group has been in my life and journey in crypto and in Bitcoin. And it gives something that just you don't get anywhere else in crypto, because it's not just an echo chamber. It's not just a one-sided thing or a biased information. You got people with lots of different opinions throwing down, and across the spectrum, technical analysis to, like, really deep philosophical ideas. And it's been very formative for me. And out of that, my exposure to that, I was exposed to Jack. And if you're not challenged by Jack mentally, you know, and then what your preconceived notions are, I mean, either you're not listening or you're just fudding or something, but there's a lot of value, and you kind of got to be willing to be ripped apart by Jack the pace he's been going, because he's just like a force of nature, and getting everybody to think in a way that's on-chain, interoperable, and open source. And I'm very thankful for that as well. But I'm having a good night. I just had dinner with the family. I've been making this Bitcoin themed Western art, which I'm really stoked about. And before I even heard anybody talking about, you know, locking anything up or whatever, I've been, you know, there's chains and blocks and whatever. And I started visualizing these blocks and chains with the chains going up into the sky. And I didn't know where those chains were going, but I'm looking back at these drawings I've made over the last like 3 months in light of what has been happening here and the signal from Bitcoin. And I'm just seeing the theme of lockup through all of it. And that was like the whole theme of these drawings I've been doing. It's like taking all these words and concepts that I don't deeply understand, but I hear and intuitively am very drawn to, because I think Bitcoin is a human network and a network that is going to open up and has already been opening up the potential for like a civilization of love to be built, rather than, you know, a usurious civilization built on fiat. And images and words like seeped into my subconscious, and then they come out in these flashes of images and drawings that I've been producing. And I just, for me, it's very gratifying for me to be able to go back and look at these without knowing anything about a lot of this stuff, and then seeing these themes showing up in my work. And so I'm just trying to be like a mirror, you know, and like soak things up and like reflect it back into what I'm experiencing in the Bitcoin community, and being willing to like suck. Like I suck at a lot of things, you know, but I'm trying to embrace the suck and like stick with it, and like, you know, over time, be transformed by what this technology can do for the world. And yeah.
Right on. So we got Nakib in the house. He just got done hosting the Ordinal Summit in Singapore. How are you doing, Nakib?
Hey, Jam. It's been really, really crazy week for me in terms of the whole planning of Ordinal Summit and getting all the top speakers as well in the space. Like, I managed to get everyone to come from the Ordinal Protocol himself. Casey has a special appearance, which was really great. Everybody was shocked. And then Domo as well came. And then Eric, Woody couldn't came because of his design shoes. And we have so much more that came down and supported the whole event. And the whole event was really, really, really amazing. I was expecting 200 plus people, right? And then 400 people turned up. People were still buying tickets on the day to just come in and just a massive, massive, awesome event. It turned out way better than I expected. I think you can see from the tweets, everything, Domo, we have different panel speakers talking as well, Erin, Ralph, and even very ordinary guy came down, and it was crazy, crazy event. Superb event. The best thing was nobody was talking about shit, right? People were talking about real tech. People were talking about the community. And I spoke with Casey as well, and he was like, Akib, thanks for doing this. Thanks for growing Asia. And I think some of you have seen the tweet that I did with the Bali government was on Monday. They came down to my office, and we actually signed an official contract. And this is a huge milestone in the entire original space itself, having the government to actually use ordinals to preserve art, right? There is fucking utility over there, man. Like, just go to my page, I pin it, and everyone was tweeting about it, was retweeting, liking about it, and everybody was so hyped. During the event, the next day, everybody congratulated me themselves. You are actually pushing Asia adoption really, really fast, right? So at first I pushed on to Vietnam, and then to Indonesia, and Bali, and Bali government accepted it. And then I got invited to go to Japan as well. I'm flying off to Japan to talk to Japan Blockchain Association and the audience thing, and then speaking on Decentral. And after that, I'm flying off to Taiwan. I got invited by EIGC, I think their tech arm, government body tech arm or something. They want to learn about audience as well. So things have been really, really going great in this space. People are actually very, very well in understanding, want to know more what this audience is about. Because I've been educating all over, and the key thing is all about education and telling them the use case of how audience can be used to have data. So really, really excited, and really crazy week for me. And really nice to be here, yeah.
Nakib, what was your biggest takeaway from the conference?
I mean, I know beforehand, but Domo doing upgrading really layer foundation. They call it layer one foundation itself. Then they have a lot of different projects supporting his foundation. Myself, I'm going to support him as well. So I already have a consortium of different builders building on OIPS. And Domo actually told me, had a long conversation as well. And he was like, okay, let's just join forces and just build together and grow the honor space. And that's what we're doing, right? Because yes, the honor protocol guys, the honor guys, they're amazing. Ralph, Casey, they're amazing. But similar to Ethereum back then, Foundation control most of the EIPs until someone built Ethereum Magician, which is a forum of EIPs as well, right? And hold on, give me. Someone is talking to me.
We got you, man. We're here.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, because I'm rushing to another meeting back to back. But yeah, and then Casey talking about upgrading on 0.9, and everything was really, really, really impressive. You said you're doing more things, getting more applications coming in, right? And then there's Sonic talking about Ox, right? And upgrading Ox to a different level. So, and the best thing was, it was my plan to actually brought them both because I communicate with them very, very like strongly as well. And we have a private event before that, just for speakers and builders. And what I did was I invited Domo and Casey. I'm like, hey, Casey. Meet Domo, hey Domo, meet Casey, and they start joking it up, bro. It was amazing having history to make it, because they've always talked to each other and like talking and debating and stuff. They've never met, and I made history as well by showing both together, and both of them were like, hey Nicky, thanks for this, man. Like, never have been done before. They always been wanting to meet, and now I made them meet, and they were talking, and it was the center of attention. Talking about how what and BRC can actually work together as well. So this is what it is, right? This is what I'm doing right now. It's just to kind of get people to just get all the fear away, to show people that people are actually working together, right? But it's very similar in 16 to 17 in the DeFi space. Some people were fading, and in Asia as well. I was on Kyber, right? So we worked together. I built the culture of, instead of fighting, this is a very small space, DeFi back then, we all worked together and just built together. So right now, that's the culture that I want to build in space for myself. I'm just going all over Asia to educate, and been very, very amazing. And let's go to my Twitter and just take a look on the Bali thing. It's amazing. It's really the first milestone for the whole audio space. Yeah.
Dude, that is awesome, bro. Congratulations. That sounds amazing. Yeah, I'm looking at your tweets right now. So So did you guys just open the Bali blockchain center? Did it just open?
No, so the Bali blockchain center is open this year, if I'm not wrong. And the government it's a government building, right? So I was in Bali for about a week, and I was going around. I was invited to actually speak on two events only, right? So the first event was like a few days before the conference. And then I was speaking about, people were like, what's all this? What the fuck is all this, right? And I told them, and there was a lot of heated debate between the NFT communities in Bali. And I told them very simple, owners and NFTs are not competitors, man. We are supposed to support and grow the space. And then I got invited to the next speaking event, and every day I was speaking until one day, I was speaking to a group of a lot of people, like a few hundreds, and then they pulled me out and saying that, hey, someone to meet you. Like big ass guy, like I think a bodyguard or something. And then I met with the government guy, and then we just talking. And then I went to Ubud, met him actually officially to just talk. He's the CEO of Bali Blockchain Center, and he's part of the government as well. And he was so impressed because they have hundreds and millions worth of cultural art stored, and they have always been wanting to preserve it, but they can't do it with all NFTs because it keeps breaking. Because they do not want to deploy such thing on OpenSea or whatever. They want to do it in the private Ethereum smart contract, but on their own host, right? But they keep breaking because the link to IPFS keeps breaking. And I told them, so all in all, I just showed him in front of him that how easy it is to do this, to preserve a data into an Ordinals, and he was mind blown. And he literally booked a flight to Singapore in front of me. And on Monday itself, 2 weeks after on Monday, he went to me and we officiated the signing. So Ordinals, Bali government, adopting honest is a big step.
Congratulations, man. Let me ask you guys all a question real quick. So when Ordinals got started, there was a lot of energy, right? And everybody from every blockchain was coming to BTC, and everyone was building on chain. And then the momentum went to Ethereum with like friend.tech. And then all of a sudden, now you have like the Ordinal Summit in Singapore that just happened that Nakib was hosting, and now we have this one, this on-chain summit happening on Friday. Is this a constant war between Ethereum and Bitcoin happening? Are we going to keep going from like the attention from Bitcoin to Ethereum back to Bitcoin?
Yeah. Guys. I have another meeting right now with Jenny. I'll join back after the meeting if you guys still there. I'm really sorry about this.
Awesome, Nakib. We'll be around.
Thank you.
So what are you guys' opinion? Do you guys think that that we're going to keep seeing this pendulum swinging back and forth between Bitcoin and Ethereum, between proof of work and proof of stake?
Yes.
You know what's really interesting, dude, is that like this all started as a grassroots movement. Like there was no incubator, there was not like all of the entrepreneurs were like self-funded, like they just got off, and running, with Ordinals. All of the marketplaces came out of nowhere and started building. And here we find ourselves with our attention being drawn back to Ethereum with Frentech. And you notice when Frentech came out, everyone thought, at least I thought they were grassroots as well. They gave you that impression, right? And so I remember like thinking like for a good like 4 or 5 days, like, man, that's really cool, man. Like this is another grassroots initiative on Ethereum layer 2. And next thing you know, I come to find out that they're like VC funded and that this was like something very well planned out. I'm like, holy shit. So to me, in my opinion, it's almost like you have the proof of work world is the grassroots bottom up world. And you have the proof of stake world becoming the top down approach to on-chain scaling. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
That makes sense to me. I mean, I like to see the cooking sessions that have been happening in Bitcoin, and that's to me like the authentic thing that I think Bitcoiners and people can connect with. I'm very wary of the top down stuff. It looks like people are having a lot of fun with it, but yeah, that's just my quick thought. Where's the fun coming from Bitcoin? Like where's the signal there? And the most potent thing I'm seeing right now is the lockup is the first step down like a path that could really turn into something awesome. But it's got to get, it seems like everybody's standing at the front of it, like right where the path starts, and turning around and talking to people about the first step of the path rather than like everybody just running down the path.
You know, a lot of people don't understand what you mean by lockup because that's a very new concept. I wrote about it in the newsletter this past month. So maybe I can explain it real quick. Lockup is nothing more than a gamification of hodling. So Bitcoiners are starting to gamify the notion of hodling with creating, with testing out the idea of having social networks based on proof of hodl. So it's a whole different dynamic. You know, it's a whole different dynamic, but it's interesting because look, you know, what's interesting about that? That we know that proof of work is protected by miners. And when the convergence started with ordinals, everyone ran to BTC because that's where SHA-256 is, right? There's a huge industry of miners protecting the Bitcoin network. Well, when Coinbase came out using the same rhetoric of on-chain scaling with on-chain summer, all of a sudden people, right away, they mistook Coinbase as an entity, as a business, for security. Does that make sense? So it gave people a sense of like, well, if it's a protocol that is managed by Coinbase, I should be safe, right? That's kind of like the implicit understanding that people got was like, okay, well, if this is a layer two in Ethereum managed by Coinbase, well, Coinbase is a reputable company. I should trust it. It gave them a sense of security. It was almost like they were like hacking the sense of security that Bitcoiners got in ordinals via a grassroots initiative from mining itself. You know what I mean? I want to welcome Crypto Cowboys and BitLive. They're on the stage. What's up, guys? How you guys doing?
Doing pretty good. Wanted to check out what you were doing with Crypto Vigilante and maybe cover it.
Badass, bro. Yeah. We talk about we're a financial newsletter, an educational platform for crypto. Welcome.
Yeah, that would be awesome. We're looking for news and all sorts of stuff like that to put on our platform. Sounds awesome.
Badass. So nice to meet you, Crypto Cowboys. And what do you guys do? I see you guys onboard, educate, entertain, and you're a space host. Tell us a little bit more about yourself.
What's going on with you, Raphael?
What's up? What's up? Is this BitLive?
No, this is Crypto Cowboys.
Oh, okay. I thought I was talking to the wrong guy. What's up, Crypto Cowboys? What's up,
BitLive? BitLive was talking first, though. Yeah.
Oh, my bad. Because for some reason, I saw the lights flicker differently. You know what I mean? How the little red thing turns off when someone's talking. It was backwards. It was like backwards for a second. So I thought I was talking to you. So hey, pleasure to meet both of you. Nice to have you both here. Tell us about what you guys both do.
I already showed Crypto Cowboy. I don't know how you could get our voices mixed up. he's probably sick of hearing about BitLive. So I want to hear about Crypto Cowboy too.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, BitLive. You can go first. I'm just sitting here listening to y'all, but yeah, I'll go after you.
We're a performance art platform. We're bringing live streaming content to Bitcoin and Web3.
That's awesome. So how are you going about doing that? Are you doing it through like the Ordinal protocol or something else?
It is envelope independent, so you could use a stamp or whatever, but for now we're concentrating on ordinals. That's the cheapest way to make a BitLive channel. It's a meta protocol similar to others where you link whatever your favorite channel is, and then we index it, and that gets you on BitLive, and people can go to BitLive and watch your stream at bitlive.live, and they can send you Bitcoin, and we never take a cut, and we never advertise or anything. We leave that to the content creators.
Oh, wow. This is really cool, dude. And so is this open source?
Yeah, it's like an open mint, if you want to call it that.
Okay. But are you cooking open source with the community or are you preserving some IP for yourself?
No, there's no preserved IP. You can go to our GitHub, the BitLive GitHub, and you can index that. That's the whole point, is to be decentralized. So everybody puts their channels on the Bitcoin blockchain, and then you can index it at home. So even if BitLive went down, you'd still have all the channels.
Dude, that is so sexy, bro. Dude, you just got yourself a fan. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it. We're in the hackathon. We need all the followers we can get. They're actually judging us on followers. So I would appreciate anybody following so that we can try to win in the hackathon. We've only existed for 2 weeks, but we're trying to do our best and get this thing launched.
So you haven't launched yet? Is that what you're telling me? You still haven't launched?
So you can go to bitlive.live. We don't have a front end right now. Everything is real ugly. But we've created the indexer, which you can get off of the GitHub, and you're rugging, man. Yeah, got him.
Can you please repeat that?
Yeah, so you can go to GitHub and you can download the indexer now. You can use our channel maker, which is linked on our Twitter, to make your channel. And you can go to bitlive.live, but it's just a proof of concept right now to kind of, show what we can do. We don't have a front-end person. We're looking for a UI UX dev if anybody wants to get involved and come compete at the hackathon with us.
Well, like, in the audience, I see developing Zach Wins, and Jack Liu. I'd follow them if I were you. Dude, I'd follow everybody here and connect with all of them. This whole audience is badass.
Yeah, I got you. I'm following them. Thanks for the tip, man.
Yeah, there's a beautiful phenomenon of like where Bitcoiners are starting to like think together. And it happens because we're building on-chain open source and interoperably. Where like the mindset is that we all work for Bitcoin. Bitcoin is the entity we all work for. And it creates a very beautiful dynamic where we're constantly looking out for each other, because indeed we're invested in one another. So I think as time goes on, we're going to keep coming, like there's this gravitational pull that is going to bring us ever closer to each other. Like there's so much happening right now, guys, that I'm getting DMs constantly, and I was planning on having like, okay, like let's say 10 people present at the conference. I'm at like 15. This is wild. So we're planning on doing a one-day conference, but I honestly, at this rate, if we wanted, we could just have a whole week of this. And that's why like I was like, no, you know what, let's start cooking with the community now, you know what I mean? Let's have these pre-games. So yeah, dude, pleasure to meet you, BitLive. Do you, in your space, do you find yourself having any competition? Are there any competitive initiatives trying to provide Bitcoiners with what you're offering?
Not on Bitcoin. There is an issue somebody brought up today where, let's say you post a link to a live video on like a coin social media, it's essentially like the same thing. It just doesn't get picked up by our indexer. Like the whole thing is just advertising yourself on the Bitcoin blockchain. And so the only competition I could really cite is like something called Bitter, which I've still got to look into.
Right on. And what's up, Crypto Cowboys? So you guys are pretty much an educational channel, right?
Yeah, we pretty much do spaces all the time and pretty much just let people know about the moves that we're making. I'm a part of a group called Based, which is basically a platform for individuals to come through and show their projects to a community of over 100 people that are pretty active in the Ordinal community. And we just let people come in, kind of show us their projects, see what they got going on, try to see if it's something that we can support. Because we have a lot of people that are from Ethereum and a lot of other chains, and they basically just like coming in, chilling with us, finding out about new DEXs, new cryptos, new plays, pretty much everything just centered around Bitcoin and Ordinals.
It's awesome. So what do you guys foresee the future of crypto being here in the audience? Do you guys foresee, what does your spidey senses tell you? Do you think we're going to see a lot of these networks abandoned and where people are just going to rush towards the best of networks?
Yeah, and the thing about it right now is I think that it's just a situation where everybody is just trying to make some money, basically. I think there's an actual incentive for people to kind of get over and try to get as much money as they can and then get out the way. I mean, I just think that those people just won't be taken serious in the future. I just think right now it's kind of, like they said, it's the Wild West, but it's still giving people the opportunity to be able to see if they're the type of individuals that you want to do business with.
So we live in a world with a lot of noise. What do you personally see as a way to for individuals to signal to one another that they're honest players within this Web3 ecosystem?
I mean, pretty much, you know, the people that are getting called out are getting called out. You know what I mean? So it's just kind of like you got to kind of just stay abreast of the people that have kind of just dumped on their followers, bought followers, kind of use their influence and outreach to basically just try to make some money or come out with a new token and dump that on people that pretty much aren't familiar with this cycle that we're kind of going through. And that, you know, several people have been through if you've been in crypto long enough.
Right on. It's cool talking to you, Crypto Cowboys, because a lot of people in crypto tend to be very tribal. And it seems that just by what, you know, your outreach, you seem to be very open to different communities. And I applaud you for that because we need that. We need more of that. We at the Crypto Vigilante strive to be that. And that's why we have an ethos of like our analysts cannot like agree with each other. We rather our analysts disagree with each other as much as possible. Like straight up. So we have like people that are like extreme small blockers. We have analysts that are extreme privacy enthusiasts, and we have big blockers. Then we have like people that are completely into NFTs, Ethereum, EOS, you name it, right? Into that world, a DeFi crowd, you know, it's, we're all over. We even have like gold bugs. Yeah. It's so we want to nourish, you know, it was kind of scary there, man, for a second, because we found ourselves being the only place in crypto that was not an echo chamber. So it's really cool to see you doing what you're doing, man. I'm like, man, it takes weight off our shoulders, man. Because for a while there, it's like, shit, everybody's like in their own siloed little networks and they're not talking to each other, you know? So it's cool to have that vibe. Keep it up.
It's true. The Crypto Vigilante is a very unique space. And I hope that ethos spreads. Start moving that way.
For sure, for sure.
Hey, Raphael, how you doing? This is Ben. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. What's up?
Not much, buddy. I've been in crypto since 2012, and I originally came into Bitcoin through some libertarians, and I've been following Jeff for maybe about 7 years, and recently I subscribe to the paid version or whatnot. But anyways, really glad to get a chance to meet you. You know, the two things that you said that are going to be more or less the future here in crypto, in my opinion, are interoperability, right? And I've got some really good information on that that I probably should, I'd like to put you up on privately, okay? Like it's a real big deal. And second thing is automation. Okay, I also am a part of a protocol called Tetra, and there.
Hello, Benjamin. I think you're rugged, man.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, yeah. Can you hear me now? What did you hear last? Because this is all important information.
You're part of a project called Tetra.
Yeah. So Tetra, anything you can do on the blockchain can be automated. Okay. So automation is really where everything is. Obviously we know it's going, and true DeFi and true none of this mirage like APY, right? You know, you want to get your APY in a stable coin. But anyways, so I got more involved in the blockchain besides just being an investor, right? As you know, like there wasn't a lot of places to go before Telegram and stuff like that. So the past 3 years, I got into like Richard Hart and that community, the Pulse Chain community, which is very interesting, those people. However, you know, I've made a lot of key partnerships and key alliances, and this Tetra thing is super big, okay? Like there's other protocols that came out maybe in the past year or two, year and a half. There's like FUBU Combo. There's a couple other ones, but it doesn't allow the user to like make their own automation. Okay. So we use like Gelato. And so anything basically that can be done manually can be done through Tetra. Now, the key part is to have a community, okay? Because not all the people are going to be able to create these strategies. So what people do then is you can just click on a strategy that somebody's already done. So I'll just kind of leave it at that, but it's a real big deal. And these guys that I'm with, like, are like super smart, and we're well connected. And the thing that I needed to talk to you offline is about this interoperability thing. There's some people that solve that, and the implications for that in the blockchain are going to be huge. So we're working with these people right now, and they want our technology, right? What we can do, because they can't necessarily do that for different reasons. But anyways, that there probably could be something in there for you guys. So just wanted to make you aware. Now, I did subscribe, or I am on that private Discord thing that you get when you subscribe. So yeah, maybe I'll go in there. I just went in, just joined like a week ago. Jeff did a real good job of pushing that with the Jubilee in this month. So I'm sure you guys had a big uptick in new people coming in, but good to meet you. And real glad to be amongst guys like you and the people that I roll with, and the founder of our project, who's my best friend. You know, we're all in the same camp, and the two most important things are interoperability and privacy. So now the other thing that I can't even say, but we're going to be decentralizing my founder solved some decentralization issues that could have some huge impacts on blockchain, but there's definitely something there for you guys. So we should maybe talk offline sometime. I'm just going to shut up and listen, but thank you.
No, thank you so much, Benjamin. I really appreciate you coming up and sharing what you know and what you're working on. Because, you know, the thing with crypto is that it's so multifaceted, so interdisciplinary, multidisciplinary, that you will always be learning. Everyone here will always be learning. There's always something more to learn. And so there's always something that you could learn from someone. So by all means, yeah, hit me up, DM, and we'll talk, man. We'll see what you're working with. Because this is the thing, man, is that like interoperability, what you said is key. You know, Jack Liu started a mantra, on-chain, open source, and interoperable. And it seems like everyone is coming to that same conclusions. I mean, you just brought it up. Because there's this, again, this gravitational pull for all of us to look out after one another. That's literally what cryptography does when it brings us together within these topographical maps, right? That through economic incentives, we align our desires into creating something that's beneficial for all. So thank you so much for sharing, Benjamin.
Hey, you know, Raph, on that note, real quick. So yeah, I don't know if you wanted to, because Benjamin mentioned he had interacted or got introduced or whatever to the Hex community. I was going to say, if you want to see something interesting, check out the comments in the bottom right. I posted a link to a website called hodllocker.com. It's been all the buzz among some flavored Bitcoiners lately, because it's an interesting concept of locking up Bitcoins behind posts, social media posts. You're locking up a certain amount of Bitcoins for a certain amount of blocks, and you can actually like posts by locking up a small amount of BSV actually behind.
You don't have to be shy around here, Alex. You can say that. The unforbidden cryptocurrency. We call it the unmentionable. It's so funny.
What was that about Hex? What were you saying? How does that relate to those guys and stuff like that?
The locking up thing with Hex, where you're locking up your crypto for a certain amount of time.
Yeah, Benjamin. So what's happening is that a very similar thing is happening in Bitcoin now.
I wish they had that. That's one thing. You know, I had a bunch of Bitcoins back in the day, and, you know, everybody's plan is, you know, man, I don't know how experienced people are, but, you know, people think, you know, year two, three, four, well, whatever. But people think that, like, it's so hard to hold your position. Nobody gets into it thinking that they're gonna make a move or sell something, because when you make one move, it sets off a trigger of events that usually generally don't work in your way. And most people, like, you know, once you do the math and the research, you need to lock something up sometimes like for 10 years. You know, I mean, that's what the biggest players do. They don't touch it for 10 years. So like, I so wish at the beginning they had something like that. That's so big, because the people that I gifted Bitcoin to now have a hell of a lot more than I do.
Oh, for sure, Ben. I feel you, dude. I went through the same thing. I tell people my story of being psyoped by the gift card, GYFT, into buying groceries at Whole Foods with Bitcoin. It's so funny, dude. Like literally, if I remember spending 18 Bitcoin in 2013 for fucking groceries, dude. If I would have locked those Bitcoin up, just one week of groceries, then I would have used fiats instead of Bitcoin. How much to do the math? I don't want to do it. I'll get depressed. I don't want to talk about it. So yeah, I mean, it's funny because a lot of people have this visceral reaction of like, you know, you're foregoing your opportunity cost. You should spend your money. You should spend your crypto. That's how you get the economy going. Dude, how about you just let people do whatever the heck they want with their money, you know, and provide as many cool tools as possible. And if it's a tool that people want, people are going to use it, period. You know what I mean? Just get out of the way. Let the market figure it out.
I'll tell you what, though. I still would never lock up anything. Like, to me, locking something up is like I'd pay whatever it is not to lock up my shit. They do that just to, you know, get you in. And you, I don't know, man. Like, I'd pay, like, there was recently this Tetra pool. Like, even though I'm, the second man in charge of this operation, right, you'll, for long story short, you only had to lock up your tokens for 2 months before we come out, right? And you got 15%. I didn't tell people, but I told a couple of people. I said, I'll pay 15% not to lock up my fucking tokens. All you got to do is sell 15% higher.
Dude, that's hilarious, man. And the thing is that, like, many different tools are going to – this started like a new thing in crypto, right? Because people are trying to like figure out who's like – who they can trust or something. In other words, there's this whole gamification around signaling to each other and locking up crypto is just one way that people are starting to play around with this idea. So I think we're going to see a lot of crazy things come out of these ideas, man. I welcome them. I think they're cool.
But just to this automation thing, like you can gather strategies, like 10 different things, right? Like you could go this way when it gets rewards, push it this way. So for onboarding, it's a big deal too, you guys, because a lot of Raphael, listen to me when I'm saying this. Like when a lot of new people come in, there's so much to learn, right? And they get turned off after like, oh, a wallet, then this, then that, and you got to buy this. So all you would have to do now is they would have to do is click one button. Okay. And it can put them in, diversify their assets. And you can work with like, these decentralized, what would it be like? There's a place that I'm posturing called Coast, right? So you can come in literally and put your money in and it will direct, you could have it attached to a strategy and diversify the person while they learn about, you know, wallet security and all those things. So for onboarding, automation is really a huge tool as well, because now that they're finally, you know, in the asset and they're moving around, they'll be there. But so many people get turned away when they have to deal with, you know, how shitty blockchain actually really is to work with, which you have to learn a lot.
Yeah, with great power comes great responsibility. That's for damn sure. And that's the thing, man. It's that like there is that fine line, right, where you want to make crypto as accessible to everyone. But then like the more person learns about crypto and the more they realize how important it is. It's going to be inevitable that they're going to have to, they're going to be driven towards wanting to know how to reassure themselves that their crypto is safe, right? So it's like, it's a give and take, right?
You gotta teach inevitably.
People. Yeah, you got to think it simple, but you also have to make it, people also want to like, make sure that they have complete control of what they own. Not your keys, not your coin, not your lock, not your savings. Is that the new thing? So we have Axie.
Yeah, so,
What's up?
Had the real quick. I had the first time. I had that special feeling that I've heard described by Jack in the last couple days, where somebody you go back to one of your locked up posts and you see that there's more Bitcoin locked up than you locked up behind it. So you realize that somebody locked up some of their Bitcoin behind your post, and it hits different than getting a like. That's for sure. It's different than getting a retweet. You know, the fact that somebody, like, I'm not going to spend my Bitcoin because of, you know, I support this particular post. It's like, oh, okay. That's something new.
And how does this work exactly? Again, I'm sorry.
So what people are, so you know how HODL, the word HODL, holding on for dear life. So now imagine if there is a way you can have proof of a HODL. So you show people, I am HODLing this amount. So now a social media, different social medias are starting to come up on chain. In this case, BSV on chain, where every time you say something, you commit some amount of Bitcoin to whatever you said on the social media platform for whatever given amount of time you want to lock it up for. So let's say I want to say,
is it a requirement to post?
No, actually, no, not it is right now, but eventually it won't be, because in BSV you can post without spending money. Like it's you can post on chain for free because BSV is that cheap. So you could do it for free, but right now you have to do it at least 0.01, or is it less? No, I've seen people do 0.00001 like Bitcoin locked up for 100
but again,
years.
You're not spending money. You're using a very little known, little utilized feature in Bitcoin called nlock time, which basically allows you to program that you cannot, use your particular amount of Bitcoin for specified time that you designate.
So
why would somebody do this?
It's like you said, wasn't it you that was saying you wish, you know, something was around years ago when you first got into crypto so that you could have locked it up and you wouldn't have paper handed?
Maybe that was then, but I wouldn't do that now, probably.
Yo, you know what? I was just talking to an entrepreneur from the Darrow blockchain, and he's going to be presenting at the Ordinal Summit. And he literally is on his own. I don't know how. Maybe he heard people cooking about locking up, but they're doing something with locking up. That's all I'm going to say. And it has to do with gaming. And that's all I'm going to say. Because that's his alpha to give the world. And it's fucking badass when he was explaining it to me. I'm like, damn. So let your imagination run wild, dude. Okay? Like,
what's going on? Someone's building a new app?
Someone built a new app on Darrow, on the Darrow blockchain, that has to do with locking up. Darrow's private by default. It's like BSV, but private by default. They're going to be presenting at the summit, and I am not going to explain anything more. I think you guys are going to have to listen from the horse's mouth. That's it. That's all I'm saying.
I've been jumping in and out of the space. Sorry about that. I'm available to talk now. Thanks for the kind words, Matt, and others. I've heard the end lock time and hot locker come up a couple times. So where in the conversation are we? What do you guys want me to talk about?
Well, Benjamin was asking about how this works. You know, he wants to learn about, you know, how this, what the heck is going on here is pretty much a question, right?
Got it.
Yeah, we barely scratched the surface.
Cool. I know there's a mix in the audience of people that know about the product and people that don't. So I'll give you a very like 10, 20 second rundown, which is imagine you can tie your commitment to your social media post. And also when you like someone's post, essentially you're also adding a commitment to the post. And then you can have essentially a natural algorithm that is built up of what are the content, what are the posts, who are the people that are the most committed to Bitcoin, essentially. But you can talk about COVID, you can talk about politics, you can talk about sports, and you can divide all these things in hashtags and topics. So those things can all come. But it's like the true social network, but it's more like it's like a commitment network of people who have this currency. It could be any currency, but it happens that we use BSV, that you kind of lock up to. And the great thing about that is this is not currency that you can make up out of nowhere. There's 21 million units. And so what naturally happens is that you can't be a whore with likes, essentially. Right now, you can go like everyone. On Tinder, you can swipe everyone. But if you're going to have to make a commitment, which is not a tip, by the way. It's not even a future tip. It's just a commitment that I'm not going to spend these funds, and the funds will actually come back to me at the end of the commitment. You can basically signal sort of what your true thoughts are about this. And the only thing you're giving up is a really an opportunity cost of using those funds. But a lot of people have cold storage anyways, so they weren't going to use these funds anyways. And it has the added purpose that maybe this is better than cold storage, because now you yourself will not even degenerate gamble your money away Friday night taking funds out of cold storage. That's basically the premise of HoloLocker. It's got about 480 BSVs locked up, current value about $12,000 US, $13,000 US in the first 4 days. Activity's been slowed down a little bit. I think actually there's been like 700, 800 BSVs like locked up over time. It's just the current active lockup, because it's been 4 or 5 days. A lot of people testing it, you know, locked it up for 1 day or 2 days, whatever. And those have rolled off. So lifetime lockup is more like 20, 30 grand. So that's not bad. There's some kinks to be worked out with. People are obviously trying to make sure the code is safe. They don't want to lock up their bag and then get rugged or something. So early days, but go ahead.
So all that sounds great. And a few of us, like, so my a project that I'm involved with, we're doing something similar with staking or locking some stuff up. And then we were giving another guy some advice today kind of on the similar thing. But I just wanted to bring this element up. You know, it would be nice if people had, they could, let's say they could unlock it, unstake it, okay, but there was a huge penalty. Let's say like 40, let's say after 50% of the time or whatever, if you did it before your halfway of your commitment, you would lose like, you know, 50% of your assets or some unstaking element that then the rewards are distributed to the rest of the people. That's one aspect of a few that I'd like to bring up, because, you know, people will, you know, unstake, right? And you can get more people to jump in the thing. And there's also different ways to design it to keep people more incentivized by restaking. So, you know, maybe it wouldn't be like 15 years or 10 years, but it could be, you know, there's a lot of different ways to skin this cat. But ultimately, the real goal is to get people to lock up, right? And also, by doing that, they're going to get something more out of it as well when people unstake or whatever. There's a lot of things around that. What's your thoughts?
Who are you asking? Me, Jack, Matt?
The gentleman that was just talking.
Okay. Well, since he's not answering, I guess I'll answer. Well, look, this is the first iteration of this type of application, Benjamin. And the cool thing is that there is no like one company or one entity doing this. This happened organically, and it's just a bunch of Bitcoiners coming together, playing with this crazy tech and just doing it. Literally, it started on a space like this. And so this whole like culture of like cooking together started where we were talking about, like, it's all interoperable, on-chain, open source. We all come to spaces and we just start cooking, right? And like creating the thing in real time. So this is the first iteration of using nlock time in a way that is gamified for social media. So you can like comments, you can like post by locking up coin behind whatever, you know. I think if you like, the like is like locking up 0.01 Bitcoin, BSV Bitcoin, that is. It's cool, man. And I, Ben, like, there will be many different iterations since this is open source. There's going to be many different like, applications that come out of this. And I'm pretty sure what you just mentioned is going to be one of those many applications. And I wouldn't even be surprised if there's someone in the audience like coding this up right now, or someone that hears the recording, because that's how moves, right?
Hey, sorry. I saw someone walk by that is an old colleague of mine from OKX. Wanted to catch up with him in a second. I heard a question. So basically, look, if you want to build a financial product, I have 800 ways to skin the cat. I'm not ready to make that move right now, because what you're missing from what you just said is you don't understand this as a social network. As in, I care about the locking from one, a pure, secure, like locking perspective with no degenomics. And number two, I care about the signal attached to the post. So I want to create a social network where you DM each other or whatever. If you want to build a pure like degeneracy, who wants to lock up longer? Who wants to who basically can hold their breath longer kind of game. You don't need the social network component. You can just have that game. We can build that tomorrow. But I don't want to mix the two things together quite yet. Yeah. Does that make sense, Benjamin?
Most definitely. I appreciate it.
Yeah. But you're right. Absolutely. What you're saying could get the numbers to lock up higher, but you're going to give a lot of people a bad experience. It's like imagine Facebook when they launched. It was like, let's launch a social network, but let's have half of you guys lose money. It's like a little bit weird, right? So like, you want to have a base layer where people are not losing money. They're just doing this for signaling and for fun and like interaction. On top of that base layer, you can build things like, hey, I recommend you buy this NFT. I get this airdrop, do other kind of sales things on top. But knowing that even if that stuff you get rugged on, you still stay for the social network. But if the entire thing is an immediate, half the people get rugged, essentially have to get a discount. It's a little bit like, what is the actual foundational value here that I want to stay here for? So that's kind of how I think of it. But look, I know we're in an industry that's very degenerate, and I appreciate that. But what I wanted to say for the people who have listened to these spaces of mine and have used HODLocker is that today I want to talk about how to get the lock numbers up, like basically the whale effect of the HODL locking. So right now you're posting and you're like liking very little. Like every time you press like is 0.01 locked up in addition. I want to change that. I want to change it so that when you post, you don't even lock up at all. And then what happens is every time you press like the new like button, you're able to enter a custom amount and block. Because I realized even if you have the setting that you can do a one setting change, like every time I press button is 1 BSB, there's going to be some posts that you want to do 200 BSB and some posts that you only want to do 0.1. So let's just make it like custom. And then I want to have a leaderboard right on the homepage. And basically, like, I want the impetus to be like, who is locking up more? I don't want it to be like just endless timelines of people like locking up 0.1, 0.1, 0.1. That's too lame. So I want to get the numbers up. And really, ideally, we end up in a world where let's just go for it. Let's just try and get 90% of cold storage all to be locked up. Like, why stop at 12%? Why stop at 1%? Like, let's have bigger goals. Let's not have 400 be locked up. Let's try and get, like, 3 million coins locked up at any given time. Let's get 10 million coins locked up at any given time. I think that's what I kind of, like, this is the moment, if you guys are following my career, it's like, this is the make or break pit moments in all the products I've built. And most of them, like, don't make it. It's like really incredible hype first 5 days, a lot of usage, only game in town, whatever. And then there's like some fading and some hesitation to step on it. And I'm making a decision right now. We need to step on it. We need to like encourage people to lock up extreme amounts and make the UI UX suitable for that. So it shouldn't be like, oh yeah, you got a little hand and you can like just tap a little post, give it 0.01. I want people to have extremely different amounts of lockups so that, yeah, sorry, if you have 0.2 locked up, you should feel like a pleb. Right? You should not feel good. Okay. We're going to feast on the dopamine and the competitive battle to see which posts, which people have the most locked up. And that's where we're going to go. How do you take thoughts on that from you guys?
I mean, this might seem like basic and not like the solution that you're maybe looking for advice for people who might hear about this, right, from other chains or whatever, who might come to the website and they're like, well, I want to do this, but I don't have any BSV, so I can't play. So if you had like a way for them to like easily like swap some of their tokens or some of their ETH or some of their BTC or some of their whatever into BSV, so I thought,
like, you'd say. Someone in the world already has 50,000 BSV, right? And they're not locking it. So why would some new guy go buy this esoteric, buy 50,000 BSVs on some asset they don't understand, spend like $2 million, don't even know what the asset is, just to lock it up? That's never going to happen. I'm saying the interface right now is not built for someone to come and be like, fuck all you guys, here's 50,000. Like, it's not built for that because obviously it's a 21 million, a 21 cap right now. Also, if I see a really good post, I'm right now incentivized to write the same post again or something similar again, because like, I don't want to go through pressing this like button for 0.01, like 100,000 times. Okay. So I'm going to restart again and then lock up 20 Bitcoins again. That's not good. What I really want is I don't want anyone to feel a difference between being the original author and the person who's liking it afterwards. Because we can still show you who the author was. You can see like who wrote this in terms of OP perspective. But like any locker should feel the same value, whether it's the original poster or the people who come on afterwards. So number one, obviously get rid of the 0.1 cap on the original posting. But number two, instead of just doing 0.01 on the loot like, or even letting you set to be like one because you're a whale, but I don't think anyone really set more than one or two or something. We just let you, every time you press it, have a pop-up, and that's when you like enter whatever you want for that specific post. So like, if I come across a post and I see five people have come around it, I don't want to start over. I want to be the sixth person. I'm going to add 500 coins. So basically, I want the people who have a lot of coins to be able to make the people who don't have a lot of coins feel fucking terrible. Right? I don't want this to be a democracy where everyone's like, oh, we can all play along. We can all like have like a little bit of a bag. Like, no. I want you to not feel like following people who are poor. Okay? I want to have a leaderboard real time of like not just top posts in the last 1 hour, who has locked up the most in the last 1 hour. So not a lifetime leaderboard like you have right now, but like an hourly, daily, by people leaderboard. So like, quite frankly, if your content cannot get other people to like it with a 10, 20, 50 coins, your content is not going to be read. If you, a person, have not received 10, 20, 50 coins, you are a person irrelevant on the network, right? Because like, this is the kind of culture you want to have if you want to have this thing actually get attention. So if you think about the dopamine and how this app will break through, and right now it has not broken through, you need something like to go to CoinDesk and be like, hey, look, these people in BSB are insane. They've locked up 1 million of their whole supply. Like, they've locked up 5% of their supply. You hit 1 million, there's no way. 1 million coins, there's no way CoinDesk doesn't write an article about it. But if you don't hit 1 million coins and you're stuck around, like, you know, tipping each other 0.01 and locking up like 20 blocks, 30 blocks, it's like, it's not good. And I can always tell that the desire for degeneracy is in the app. Because people can't right now increase their locking by more than 21, and they can't increase like their loot likes by more than 0.01, people are finding ways to be degenerate by increasing the amount of lock time. So people have already done 99 million blocks, which is locking up to 1900 years into the future. It's like literally, if you believe in Christianity, people have already started locking up as long into the future as Christ has been, since Christ. You know what I'm saying? This is fucking insane, okay? That's because we didn't arbitrarily, the developer Zero didn't arbitrarily put in a block limit for how long you can lock up. But he did, in my opinion, I guess just being cautious, but he did put in like a 21 Bitcoin. I think the limit should be 21 million Bitcoins. You know what I mean?
That person's just looking out for their great, 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 great grandchildren. So it's very, very nice of them. But you know what would be interesting to see is, I don't know if it's been figured out technically, if this locking thing could be done on BTC as well. Because I know there's some differences, but obviously, like with the microtransaction sort of thing, like there's limitations there. But it would be cool to see if eventually there's an interface that, because somebody was asking, like, you know, somebody arrives and they don't have BSV so they can't play. But I'd love to see both, you know, a cross chain thing where you can see like how many BSV has been locked or how many BTC has been locked. And it's kind of like a battle of the hodlers, or, you know, cross chain. In the spirit of like, you know, JPEG wars and kind of that sort of thing, you know, you can see side by side, you know, the different chains kind of competing with each other over costly signals, so to speak.
What's the monetary incentive to lock up the tokens?
It's not like staking. There's no yield.
So, yeah, but what's the there? I guess attention. The social proof. So, don't you think that you'll have a possible?
Hold on. What's the monetary purpose of me pressing the like button on Twitter?
Well, right now it's not going to cost you any money to do that, so that's good.
Yeah, but if I have 1 million Bitcoins, does it cost me any money to lock them around or no?
Say that again, please.
If I already have the Bitcoins, does it cost me any money to use locking? It doesn't cost me any money either. Okay. It might as well be the same as a like.
All I know is people, you know, do have respect for their money, right? Everybody's trying to make it through these times, right? And so, you know, without some, for the average person, right, having something to get from it monetarily, you know, it's going to be hard for them to do that because everybody is trying to hold on to what they got and to get more.
I'm not taking anything from what you got, sir. you're going to have the exact same.
Ben, and what does is it prevents you from being psyop.
Consumerist, like spending addicted culture where even though people are poor, they're still going to Walmart and loading up their cart with $100 of bullshit that they don't need. You know,
but I'm not stopping you from shilling an NFT in the post and then locking up some coins to make sure everyone sees that this dumb NFT you want to sell, and then people speculate on the NFT. I'm not stopping the layer on top from being as degenerate as you want. I just want the base layer to be a pure signaling layer. Does that make sense?
No, yeah, it makes a lot of sense, dude. Hey, Jack, real quick, did you see the post from Leonidas that I put above that they're talking about having on-chain on BTC on social media?
Yeah, I see that.
I think they're going to love this idea. I honestly can see the BTC Ordinals crowd doing something like this, to be honest.
No, that's good. I might build it myself on BTC also. But yeah, like basically, traditional social media, traditional texting shit is finished. Look at Friend Tech. It's like, I have a good friend, CMS Holding, logged in, tweeted that he's using Friend Tech. Within 3 minutes, his shares had surged to one ETH each. So $1,600 each within 3 minutes. Okay. He's now been on the app officially registered for about 1 hour. Okay. He's been on the app 1 full hour. Okay. And yeah, sorry, it's now 1.46 ETH. So he's at 97 holders. Okay. And if you look at what his, what this person has made already in royalties, let's take a look. I'm gonna show
it to you. So, but what one Friend Tech is missing is locking, though, right? Because people get rugged, and this is one of the features that TO liked in a space a few nights ago when we were talking about, you know, how different ways that the locking can be used, and it came up, you know, NFT collections could pre-program that, you know, when you buy, you know, when you make a piece of the collection,
but look,
you can't sell it for a certain time.
Don't tell me it's missing something. It's already succeeded. You see what I'm saying? Like, you have to succeed with your first move. If you did, whatever you're missing, you're not actually missing, right? So your first move has to go viral. I wish I did Friend Tech, but again, because BSV Network is dumb, like BS Network is actually dumb, you can literally host an event all the way in Costa Rica, have 15 people talk about this all day for 5 days, and it still doesn't get built by BSV, by people in BSV. Because people like Satsumo just doesn't want to make money. Literally is incapable of making money, like from his apps. He's not like, yo, that's sick, let's cook it. Like, he's not. That's not his prerogative, right? And I didn't cook it either. And there's a whole bunch of things missing in the token protocols and whatever. Which is why I can't rely on Run. I can't rely on OneSat or Node. I can't rely on any of this stuff built on top of Bitcoin. So I can only rely on what Bitcoin is naturally, which is just this locking thing and Bitcoin itself. So I have to use that to try and change the culture and try and change the information flow inside this dumbass community to try and make the community smarter, to try and bring in someone who's like more degenerate into this community so that they can actually cook on top. That's the problem we're trying to fix first. And with locking, it's like, if you're not locking your entire bag, I've built the product wrong. It's sort of like the way that the new mental mindset. Because a lot of people in BSV had this like utilitarian, everyone kumbaya, make everyone be, like everyone, let everyone try a little bit, the poor person like mindset. And it doesn't want to like, so like already, you know how people like didn't like locking before we launched the app? Right? Like the Kurt Walker didn't like locking. We need to take the opposite of that energy by like 100-fold. So it's like now we super love locking and we're going to lock our entire fucking, right? And I want to make you feel bad for like not having a bag so small. Like, I feel like I'd rather have all the entire app be using pseudonyms and like, I don't even know it's one Andreas. I don't even know it's one Alex. If you choose some completely new room, don't know who you are, but you lock up your whole bag. That's kind of like where I think this thing will go to. Like a lot of people in BSV is already like, oh, it's gonna be video, when it's like pictures, when it's gonna be like replies. And they're just thinking so granular. They should be thinking much more degenerate of like, how do I get people to want to lock up their entire bags? But like before we added the truancy of like losing half your money if you unlock early, but I'm gonna focus on that next one.
All right, so quick question then, important question. So there's already people out there that have come into this whole HODLock idea, like Benjamin. And they're like, you know what? This is really cool, but I'm going to fork it and create my own project. Like, I think Joshua Hensley is doing a retro share version of this. So do you expect, do you predict for there to be different, like, iterations of this technology?
Yeah, sure. But it's like there's different BRC20s already still winning. There's different, like, Frentech interfaces, but Frentech's still winning. Now, obviously, OrSwap lost, right? Or is currently losing. So I'm not saying Twitter cannot lose, but if you're gonna, like, no offense to Josh Hensley, but every time he's done one of these cases, it's just been like a different UI on the same thing. If he wants to win, he can win. He needs to add something ridiculous to it, like that makes everyone want to switch over. He can't just be like an alternative interface so that if my site goes down, still site, right? That cannot be the way he wins. Does that make sense?
No, yeah, 100%. So let me ask you this: this idea would have how, from your experience, because you're an entrepreneur on BTC, you created the first Ordinals marketplace, OrdSwap, and you were also, you know, a big entrepreneur in Big Block Bitcoin, BSV. How would the BTC community receive this technology in comparison to what you just described? What would you expect if tomorrow you were to launch HODLocker on BTC? What do you expect? How will it be received by BTC?
This current version of HODLocker is also going to similarly fail on BTC. But if you make the version I just described and head more towards that direction, I think both communities will lock up thousands, tens of thousands.
Because a lot of people, you know, this whole HODL culture is, there's no proof of HODL. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people that could be flexing. Oh, yeah, hi, HODL. I'm a Spartan. Yeah, 300. HODL, baby. Bullshit. They probably don't even have a coin. You know what I mean? So it's a good vibe to call people out. I love it.
Breaking news. We have surpassed 500 lock coins for the first time ever. 507, everyone. 507 is the new record high. Woohoo!
Where were you when 500 broke on HODLocker?
This is 500 coins that actively currently cannot be touched. This is not how much coins have been locked up on HODLocker in lifetime history. On that front, I think we might be approaching 700, 800s. But the only number I care about is 500 active locks. I have a new goal, which is I don't want it to just get it to like 50,000, 100,000 to maybe start pumping the. I want the amount of locked up on the Bitcoin network across all interfaces to break 10 million. Fucking let's get over half locked up.
So exciting. Imagine, you know, like you can use all the different emoji reactions on Telegram posts. Imagine like those are like you're locking up your chosen crypto. So like people can lock up Monero behind crypto vigilante posts, or they can lock up BTC or Pirate Chain or whatever they want.
Okay, actually, I was about to say you're a fucking brilliant guy, and then I realized your idea is not quite right. But your first sentence got me thinking so hard, Alex. I was like, Alex, this guy can go beyond rapping. This guy's got something.
I'm telling you, dude, Alex is a genius. I've been telling people.
No, I'll stick to rapping.
Yeah, he is.
I was about to say genius, and I heard the second rule, which is choose a coin, which means you have to choose a wallet. Right? If you lock up Monero and that, at the same time, the same company, BSV, you got to log in with like 100 different wallets. So that's the part where you like retarded. But like the first sentence where I thought you were going, I was thinking, holy shit, this is new to one. This is a simple new liquid. So can I say the version I wish you were going? I never thought of before. I thought I was going to give you huge credit. Can I share that?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. That version is, you know how Slack, you have different like emojis. I mean, I use Slack where like a whole bunch of people in the organization, some give hard, some give rocket ship, some give 100%, some give free sign, some give like anything. You know what
I'm talking about? Yeah, sure. Yeah, keep going.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, so that's exactly what I was thinking when I was describing
something. No, but it's not. It's not what you're saying. You're saying those are different coins, okay? That's what you said, right?
Right.
Yeah, I'm saying that's fucking dumb because then you have 100 different wallets. I'm saying just keep it BSV, but each of the different kind of emojis are different different like amounts. Does it make sense? So it'll say there's three humpbacks on this post. There's two hearts on this post. There's one whatever. And you just press the button that's your ball size for that post. Does that make sense? So it's like very easy without entering forms and stuff. That I like. I like that idea.
I don't quite get it. So are you saying like a like would be like the smallest amount, a heart would be a little bit more, something like that?
Bro, it'd be like a shrimp, a shark, a whale. You know what I mean?
You just scroll down and then you just pick like, on each post when you want to lock it, you just like press the emoji that you have been trained by your lizard monkey brain to like remember which one's one and which one's 0.1. So you just tap that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm going to give your post a shrimp, Alex.
Yeah.
Hey, Crypto Cowboy, what's your incentive to develop this product, right? For the developers?
Are you asking me?
Yeah. Like, what's in it for you as well? Like, you're doing all this work and stuff. If they're all locked up, like, what? Like, do you? How does that work for you?
I guess I have a massive bag, so I want my bag to pump. So I don't really need to more big PSVs.
Okay, so because everything's locked up, so you're not monetarily making anything off of it, correct?
No, mine's locked up. Your coins are locked up, and then your coins are my bag, so I can dump it.
No, I was just curious, right? Because you know, sometimes without like a monetary incentive, like who's going to be around in like 2 years, 5 years to be putting work into the product if people aren't being paid?
Yeah, but I don't have to put. I can run the product right now, and the product's already finished because all the pieces are on chain. Anyone else can put up an interface. Like this is all on chain. Every single part of the post, every single part of the actions, on the entire all on chain. I can run today. It doesn't matter. So the amount of work that each person needs to put in is almost zero. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't need to monetize. You should want to monetize all day. But I'm just saying, like, let's cut the breaks, right? Number one, it takes one day to build. Number two, everything you build is on-chain. And
that's gone great.
By everyone else. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So I'm more concerned of, like, does this thing even work? And if it works, I can think of a million ways to monetize. But if no one even wants to lock it up, then let's just shut the site down tomorrow. I'm right now 50-50 down, just so you know. Like, if I don't see this locking up over 1,000, I might just shut it down today. So I encourage you guys, if you like that site, you should go lock up.
I think the opportunity, you know, there's something like all these, there isn't an accepted, like, process that everybody does to lock up like this, right? What if there was a universal, like, hold locker that was generally accepted by all the different cryptocurrencies, right? And it was the trusted one, right?
Yeah,
so
my bags are in BSV. Why the fuck would I want other coins to pump? So I'm not really spending my energy on other coins. You can go have fun doing that. I don't care about that.
Yeah, I think many different communities are going to do similar things. Like I said, there's someone in the Dero community that already built something that seems to be similar.
Yeah, like I said, Raphael, I'm a trendsetter, right? So I go first and everyone else goes after. This is what happens every single time. So, like, I get the game, you know? Like, FrenTech is, like, the similar narrative, and now we're on to LockTech, basically. You know what I mean? Now individual shares is boomer. Now it's, like, it's successful, it's stressful, it's cool. But let's not talk about that anymore. Let's talk about locking up. Like, two, talk about something else. That makes sense, right, Raphael?
I ain't gonna lie, bro. You're right. It's the truth.
It's the truth.
Credit where credit's due, man. For sure.
But that started before there was an on-chain economy, when in the very first exchanges of this industry. I mean, this track record has been going on for 10 years. You know what I mean? But I don't want to get old myself here. What I will say is, like, legitimately, if this doesn't get to 1,000 Bitcoins locked up, it's like so boring that like we might shut the site down. So that's on us to try and build you a slightly better product, a much better product, much more degenerate product, much more inviting for you to lock it down, make you feel like you're a fucking poor person if you don't have a lot locked up. But that's on us to trigger your monkey brains in thinking you're poor, okay? And making you like want to be rich. Like that's on us. We'll work on it a few more days. If you don't get this up to 1,000, good luck with other interfaces. You know what I mean? And if we don't get 1,000, good luck with other interfaces. Like that's gotta be our vibe. It's gotta be a very ruthless, cutthroat, let's go, let this thing pumping vibe.
That's right, man. No, that's how we all got to be, man. And that's a crazy thing about, like, just look at the vibe right now. Jack, what the fuck happened, bro? Because, like, for a second there, everyone was like, oh, shit, is Ordinals dead? what happened? All the attention is going back to Ethereum. Oh no. And then out of nowhere, boom, like this week has been crazy for ordinals, man. It's like we have three conferences now with the TCV ordinals on-chain summit. And like, it's just mind-boggling, dude. I can't keep up with the innovation. What's going on? It's like all the energy went to Ethereum and then it came back. It's weird.
Yeah, but that is a battle of energy. It's a battle of attention. So when you see someone else cooking something, you better cook something more ridiculous. That's what's going to happen. Like, every single person is a decentralized drug dealer, okay? The drug you're dealing in is a dopamine, for better or worse, okay? And so you get away because, it's not custodial. It's decentralized. I don't touch your keys. And user beware. Here's a disclaimer. Here's a warning. But you're here to cook up, like, ridiculous level of dopamine. Now, I'm not saying HODLlocker is the greatest short-term dopamine ever, because it's obviously not. There's like 1,000 times leveraged product. You can go and roll a bit and like roll a dice and make like 1,000x. You can't do that with HODLocker in a 1 second moment. But I will say that something like HODLocker is the kind of dopamine that you can keep giving people for the next 50, 100. Evidently, someone thinks they loyal people for fucking 1,900 years, right? So it's like sustained drug use, okay? And, no. Go ahead.
No, keep going. That's funny. Keep going.
And when I say things like that, you know, don't call the FDA on me, okay? I'm not actually making actual drugs, okay? Don't fucking put me in jail. I'll hire the best lawyers and defend me, okay? But what I'm saying is, like, you are trying to get the world to leave some kind of fiat currency for whatever bag you're on, okay? That's what this game is, okay? If there's like a superior economics kind of like benefit for the world, that's cool. We can go read a book about it when it's finished. How a group of misfits ended up ending the Fed. Like, go write that after you see it, okay? But no one in the real world gives a single fuck that the dollar's like inflating. They don't care about that. They don't care about the Austrian economics, end the Fed, Ron Paul, Peter Schiff. No one cares. Zero.
Preach.
Okay, zero people cares. So what you're looking to do is not, hey, you're enjoying buying a coffee with fiat. Hey, let me make a merchant POS and allow you to buy a coffee with Monero, or allow you to buy a coffee with BTC. It's like, dude, why the fuck would I switch from my buying coffee from fiat to crypto if this crypto just does the same shit that I do with fiat? That's why every single person I see with preaching enterprise, government, Bitcoin, merchant adoption is a fucking retard, okay? Like, you have to try and give people, oh, check this new game you can play. Check this like degenerate NFT thing you can get into. This like shit coin is going up 1,000x. Check this guy's like locking up some bullshit text for like 1,500 years. And one of these things, or many of these, are things that, shit, I can't do that with my Visa card. Shit, I can't do that with like my bank account. Shit, I gotta move my funds from this fiat thing to this other thing, this crypto thing. Like, and obviously, like that's what needs to happen. And so the game is to cook up more and more ridiculous, you can call it like cool, fun, whatever you want to call it, things on the blockchain at increasing speeds. The first 10 years of crypto was just people buying and selling on exchanges for the hope that the blockchains in the future will have these kind of use cases. But there wasn't actually any use case buying Litecoin back in 2013, back in 2014. Well, now Litecoin has ordinals 10 years later.
Bro, so, did you see what Shatter said today about Doge?
Yeah, exactly.
Whoa.
That's what he said. He says Doge can do the same shit BSD can do, right?
Yeah, dude, right? That's fucking huge.
But it also just means that this Shatter guy was wasting all your time. And you guys were all wasting all my time telling me that, oh, shut up, he loves BSD. He's going to work on Terra Node. The guy doesn't have any loyalty to BSD whatsoever. The guy doesn't understand BSD, okay? He's, like, he doesn't get it. So, like, that's why we don't want people wasting my time and wasting everyone's time. So the next time I have, like a creator, like, friend tech type app, I won't be flying you guys all the way to Costa Rica and telling you about it. I just locked up 1,000 Bitcoins behind. Let's just go build it. I drew it for you. Tell them to build it.
Hey, I think you bring up a good point. Like, earlier, before you came on, I was saying something a little bit opposite, but I think they're both like really true. So, like, one of the things I think we're moving more towards in DeFi is like real yield, right? Like not stuff that's like a mirage and like APY that starts off at 1,000 and goes from there, but you know, something, you know, more stable, right? Per se, just hear me out. But at the same time that will be happening more in blockchain, you're also going to have the opposite effect of that as well. You'll see more people coming in who want these more degen stuff. So in the future, unfortunately, you know, you'll have both sides of those more becoming, the more things become more stable and not a mirage and APY and true DeFi. At the same time, you'll have a lot of people coming in who want like the most coolest, craziest degen shit, right? And that element, like, I think you're really spot on, right? So yeah, like the world is such polar opposites in moving in that direction. So like that degen aspect, I think you're right. Maybe we haven't seen shit yet with what people are going to try to do for attention and degen and the dopamine. Like that will only expedite. Exponential.
Yeah.
It's like that song. You got to keep going, Alex. What's up, bro?
Go. Pump it up.
Pump it up.
All right. I'm going to add a feature. All right. Zero. If you're listening to this, hope you don't hate me. Okay. Let's add this fucking feature. The site is auto playing whatever the fuck is the most locked audio tape on the whole site. You can turn that shit off, but that's the playlist. Okay. We can mute the site or you don't want to mute the site, but the site is auto playing the playlist of the most pumped up, like essentially run NFT. We can do that. We can add that like in a day, so that you can have this like pump it up vibes the whole time you're on Hot Locker.
You know? Oh my god! You know it's just gonna be the Rick Roll song nonstop.
Yeah. So it's actually a live space. It's a BSV. It's a single BSV space that is live at all times. But it's, hey, the mic goes to whoever the fuck is locking up the most right now.
That's yeah, but it changes every day and it starts over, right? So like every 24 hours, like you would hit that dopamine. So like the first, it starts off at zero. So the
No. If I'm hearing some garbage, like what you just said, I'll fuck you your mic right now. I don't need to wait 24 hours.
Okay? Yeah, but you just lock up more than you get to choose.
No. The moment I lock up more, mic is on me.
Exactly. Yeah,
then you would exactly. have to lock more.
Yeah. And it starts over every 24 hours.
Alex, we gotta pump this up.
No, it doesn't reset every 24 hours. It's literally resetting real time, anytime. Get it?
Yeah, but if it goes to 10, 100, then the max is 100. Eventually, it'll be so much that some fucking doughweed could come in and fucking play some the fucking gay shit for fucking.
No. It resets every minute. So you want to keep on like fucking? It's like you want to keep on playing.
The biggest degen, and I love it. Like I wasn't even thinking 1 minute. You're like fucking. I'm saying like 24 hours, you're like, fuck that every minute.
Actually, 1 minute is like fucking already, I have no attention. I can't hear your nonsense for a whole minute, dude. I want to cut you off after 5 seconds. So like, you want to get this like...
Do that, dude. That would be awesome, bro. That would be... Yeah, I'd go over there just to listen to you fucking crazy fuckers.
Yeah, so I'll be on the mic because I locked up 10 Bitcoins. I'm on the mic and then the next second, I better lock up another 10 Bitcoins. If I don't do that, someone else will lock up 12 and the mic is there. And then
Alex, you're locked... You gotta pump it up.
Yeah. Okay, let me be serious for a second, okay? Let's be real, which is Bitcoins every 10 minutes has a block. So I think the most locked up of each block should have the mic. That makes sense. That's actually very doable coding-wise instead of one arbitrary 1 minute. So let's make it 10 minutes and the mic is open to whoever the fuck locks the most up in a 10 minute period. And that's your 24/7.
Oh my God. Dude, you know how many nutso people will lock shit up just to have the mic and do crazy fucking gay shit?
That's right. It's like, hey, man, I'm on the phone. I'm on the mic to the whole fucking world. All you Bitcoiners, you listen to me right now. All right? Like, this is the kind of vibe you'll have every fucking 10 minutes.
Yeah, this taps into like this vibe like that. I think there's been a few projects that have tried to over the years, like the old school vibe of being able to control the jukebox in a diner or anywhere, right? You're in the roller skating rink.
This is a global Bitcoin jukebox. And yep. Zero, you're asleep. I'm looking for the next Zero to just listen to my spaces and start throwing the shit up. Okay, let's go. That's what I'm saying.
Alex, pump it up.
Listen. When I saw someone in Relay X say in the Telegram chat say something today, it made my blood boil so fucking high. Someone was like, yeah, but it's only been 4 days. Good things take time. I'm like, what the fuck? Shut the site down right now. Like, if you are making copium excuses because, well, it's only been 4 days, you know, it's pretty good. It's pretty good that 400 locked up. I'm like, fucking shut the site down now. It is not pretty good. It's fucking a failure. You know what I mean? So, like, what I just came up with right now with the 10-minute every block is the microphone goes to the top locker of that block. That actually would legitimately have, like, thousands of Bitcoins locked up over the course of the day, no?
So are you saying Extra would have the mic right now? Uh-oh.
No, you have to be the most locked up of people who locked up during lock.
So is this, like, audio NFTs that are being posted, or is this like some sort of integration with a microphone?
No. All it is, there's no NFTs. Okay. Fuck that. Run broken. Okay. What it is just you're locking up off site, and whoever is locking up to any post, anything during this last 10 minutes that has the most, okay, is their mic is available to be open. Everyone else's mic is not available to be open. And then the whole site is just like a broadcast. Does that make sense? You're not uploading some audio. You're locking the audio.
Bro, I'm going to call this one the Benjamin mic.
Ooh. Dude, I'll tell you what, man. What's the gentleman speaking again? Not Raphael. What's your name again, sir?
Jack Liu, bro. He's our keynote speaker at the TCV Ordinals on-chain.
This guy just has a way of just growing on you and growing on you. You're unbelievable, dude. Like, I don't know you, but, like, dude, you're so...
You're getting psyops, Benjamin.
I don't even know what the word is, but it's such a good thing.
No, I have to comment on this for a moment because witnessing Jack Liu for the first time in person in Costa Rica, there's just something about Jack that, like, dude, without having that experience, I have to share this, right? Most people would hear his tone and sometimes maybe the profanity, which we all from time to time, and just how aggressive he is with just like getting to the most cutting edge thought of the now moment. That's what he's a master at. Witnessing that, I mean, I've worked beside some of the most amazing entrepreneurs and thought leaders that I would never have imagined, such as Raphael and even Alex too. And I've never seen anything like Jack Liu. So I love that you've said that, Ben, because you're just like shattering ego, you know, because the ego wants to just be like, feel attacked, you know, oh, who is this guy? He's hurting my feelings. But dude, you don't understand, right? I study the markets, right? You guys are in the tech, I'm in the markets, man. And right now we are in the everything bubble. We're in the biggest bubble of all time. The karmic pain and suffering and evil of the last 2000 years of the age of Pisces. This is bigger than money, dude. What we're solving right now through technology, decentralized tech, is here to heal the world. Okay, so this is very important. It's very dear to my heart. I care about this, and I'm willing to put my ego to the side so that I can let the person who's willing to do whatever it takes, right, beyond the comfort zone, beyond the judgment and the speculation of others who might say otherwise, that person is wrong. I'm willing to let them have the mic because I just want resolution, man. So thanks for sharing that. I just had to get that out, man.
It'd be insane. Think about it. It's end lock time as a moderator. Okay, we don't need Crypto Vigilante moderating. You don't need me moderating. You don't need me telling Benjamin to shut up or Benjamin telling me to shut up. Let's have Bitcoin. Let's have basically dick swinging contests to shut people up. Like that is like, you know what I mean?
That's absolutely, because the one, like, I'm in Telegram all the fucking time the past couple of years, and like the people that I roll with over there and the huge community and Pulse Chain and all these people, there's some nutty motherfuckers. I have been in the trenches and I have seen the craziest shit, but there's a thing about the degen aspect, what brings everybody back and, you know, showing their dicks, like the craziest stories is what's going to happen next. And there's a lot of people that like feed off of that too, and like even less, like more normal people do, because it's a fucking show.
Okay, so Jack, the person who has currently the most locked up gets to choose what the amount that speakers have to have in order to be locked up to be speakers in the space, right? Because this way it's like Twitter spaces where you can have like 12 people speaking at a time or whatever.
No, what you could do is you could have the top 12 people be speakers. I haven't thought it fully through. It's just, I don't want to work, okay? I don't want to be moderating. Oh, I have the most locked up. No, I get to choose. I don't want to fucking choose. I just want to fucking talk. So, like, you want to build your product in a way that, like,
here is how big my dick is, now give me the microphone. Like, I don't want to do moderating and bring people up. That's fucking boomer. This whole base thing is boomer, okay? Like, I'm saying, think of a thing that is, like, competing with lock cups and instant dopamine, instant, like, here's my poker hand, I win, and then I'm speaking. Like, that would be, that would end CoinGeek, like, live stream. That would end CoinGeek YouTube videos with Kurt Bucker, because, like, I will be listening at any time to the top people of Bitcoin, like all time, 24/7. Like, remember after all, we said that one day we'll be on Twitter Spaces and Bitcoin will be hyper-demonizing. Now I realize we will not be on Bitcoin Spaces. We'll be on Bitcoin itself, listening to Bitcoin while this thing is hyper-demonizing.
It's just going to be the new Freenot album on loop, yo.
Alex, we got to pump it up.
Yeah, so I love the idea of, like, the Twitter Spaces being ranked by, you know, coiners, right? Instead of no coiners like it is now in many ways. But it also sounds fun when it's, like, a music sort of thing, too, with the music vibes.
Yeah, so because I don't know how – okay, this is how boys do this, right? If you can't do it real-time, like a space, what you could do is you could post an audio. You just post an audio, right? It doesn't have to be NFT. Just post some audio, right? And you and other people, you might not have no fucking coins. You just posted some audio that's top-notch alpha or top-notch music, whatever. And everyone wants to hear that shit. So they moonlight that shit to the top, okay? And then that's just playing. So it could be asynchronous. It's like, you know, I leave like a voice recording on WhatsApp or a voice recording on Telegram. It's like a global fucking voice memo. And we're playing whoever is being voted to the top. It could be music, it could be fucking profanity, it could be anything you want, right? And there's like one TV fucking channel, right?
Yeah,
that's what we want.
Yeah, whatever's the top locked up audio post at any given time is what's playing on the site at the
That's right.
So it could be a pod. Some could be somebody promoting their podcast, their song.
Yep. And if you didn't hear it on the website itself, you could obviously play it individually one by one, right? Like, you don't have to listen to the live streaming of the leaderboard. But yeah, like, this, you need to be thinking about how the fuck. Because see, when you hear about something so exciting, you know, I don't give a shit if the currency is BSV or fucking fiat or BCH. You don't give a fuck because you're like, how do I just fucking listen to this thing? Like, you need to create levels of dopamine that the people don't actually care about what is the currency underneath. That is how you get past this whole BSV is a scammer. And quite frankly, Craig could be a scammer, right? Maybe you are right. Like, but even a scammer coin, you can have it go to the moon, you know? Like, because you got to cook. You got to cook alongside this chain.
So would your leaderboard then be like whoever's like 10-minute thing got the most liked? So like the leaderboard would show like who had the best thing of the day, and there'd be a leaderboard of that?
That's right. So Billboard Top 100 can get fucked, okay? I will be hosting a new award gala for the people who were the top of the year. It'll feature like whether it's Kanye West or whoever else won. But we no longer need like a Grammys award. We don't need a Billboard Top 100 as boomer. We don't need a Fortune Top 100 riches. We'll be having a live, real-time riches list, which we already have right now. As I see it right now, Andreas is the richest person in Bitcoin. All you other people are poor, okay? I don't know who you are. You tell me you have 1,000 BSVs. I don't believe it. The way I see it is Andreas is the richest person in Bitcoin right now. So. and by the way, even if he gets past the next block, when people 10,000 years from now re-index this fucking chain, they will be able to find a block-by-block history of who was the richest. So, Andreas, you can at least tell your kids and grandkids, for some period of time, you were the richest person in Bitcoin. And that honor will be harder and harder to win at, because at some point, to make it to the richest at any given point, you might need fucking 200,000 Bitcoins, okay? So I would encourage you to, at least for one block, beat Andreas, okay, in active locked up coins, because in the future we will, maybe somebody's gonna airdrop a NFT collection that will only give to the number one holder of any given block. And so if Andreas has already been number one for about like 100 blocks in a row, he'd be getting 100 NFTs on the airdrop. Like, I don't know, okay, that's your platinum gold award. You were at some point the richest person. We're having a Forbes top list every fucking 10 minutes. We're having a Billboard top 100 every fucking 10 minutes. Okay, you're gonna have the best fucking
twerking and TikToking a little short video every fucking 10 minutes. Okay. Like that's what we're going. And we're going 24/7 Bitcoin, no fucking world economic algorithms. You want to fucking make it? Pump my fucking
That guy's
back.
A fucking genius.
I Bro, told pump my it friend, up. Pump it up. So now it's pump it up.
I told my son, Freenas is trending on Bitcoin today because there's like these something people posting they want the remix.
But, hey guys, that's the problem with YouTube. Like, imagine if they had like every 10 minutes, what was the most like fresh one, new one that came in? There was like you could turn to a channel that like you were like seeing some crazy shit in real time like that. That would be a real hit. That's like a hit of dopamine that you're kind of trying to create as well, it sounds.
Yes, I would know worldwide election, real-time election, every fucking microsecond election of every single fucking piece of this economy so I can look at the best. And then I can filter into, like, search for ballet videos, fucking basketball videos, whatever you want. Every single hash, every single topic, I'm having a real-time market for dopamine and attention. And then all these fucking other people at these Web2 companies can go fuck right off.
Alex, pump it up.
Like, do you know how boomer it is for our society to need to have one guy who's the richest person in the world and have him save freedom of speech by spending $45 billion to save it? Like, how boomer is that? Like, we need this one guy to make sure, like, the accounts, like, the don't get like banned or something. Like, it costs you 0.000001 cents to just write something onto Bitcoin that will never be censored in the first place. Like, what are we doing here, right? Like, just fucking load this entire shit.
And we're still shadow banned.
Yeah, we're still shadow banned. Fuck that. Like, you want to be an interface that doesn't show the top most upvoted thing? Go ahead. Good luck with your interface. But the world is ready to route VPNs through whatever places to North Korea if that fucking website North Korea is showing me the true shit on Bitcoin. Watch and learn.
We got to pump it up, Alex. The Crypto Vigilante, the underground of crypto Twitter. I'm feeling it, bro. I'm feeling the vibes. This is fucking awesome, man.
Yeah, let's just go. The beginning. Just the beginning.
Bunch too of low, man. 507. 507 is too low, dude. 507 times.
Those are rookie numbers.
15 grand, dude. 15 grand. What is this, man? What is this 21 Bitcoin cap? Who is the developer who did this? I'm doing it. Love you. Yeah, 21 Bitcoins, really? Come on. I don't wake up for signals like that. I want a custom feed where I only see shit over 100 Bitcoins left. Okay?
The fact that you said you'd rug this shit, you know, in an hour or two, a day or something, like you don't fuck around, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're not attached, but you're attached. Like, that's a beautiful thing.
Oh, believe me, I've been through lots of torture, lots of things where I spent a year waiting for things to materialize, 2 years for things to materialize. Like, this is a trail through pain and through pleasure. This is a training skill. So... thank you.
We'll talk about that more. Like, that's an important aspect. Like, for somebody to get to that point and, like, get to that zone, like, that's where a lot of the magic happens. So, like, just talk about that for a second, buddy. Like,
he spoke the app into existence. Like, he just was talking about it on Twitter Spaces for the last few weeks, and then somebody who was listening decided to post an iterated version, a very basic version of it, a few days ago in, like, the RelayX Telegram group. And then it was kind of like a joke at first because it didn't work, but the guy just kept working on it, and then they started, you know, collaborating on, you know, actually matching it more towards vision.
Yeah, it was a joke, and then there were some pieces of the app that I didn't really talk about on Spaces, not because I didn't want to, but it had just, like, hit me. And I DM'd the developer, and I was like, you know what? You want to work together. I love to work together. If we work together, I'll give you all my sauce. That's fine. And I may still not code anything, so you can.
You rugging. You don't I heard that you give the guy your sauce or something.
No, like all that.
You rugged. You rugged.
Hear me?
All right. So we can hear you now. Alex, we're going to have to pump it up one more time.
Audio version of this idea. Feel free to build it on your own. Or if you want to build it with me, I'll take 50%. And if you're betting that I'm not worth 50%, then good luck working on it on your own.
Who's cooking? Who's cooking? I want to know who's cooking right now. Raise your hand if you're cooking this right now. I'm not seeing anyone raise their hand.
There's a lot of the people who are like giving... This is why I'll be very frank, right? I can say this because I'm not VC funded. I don't give a shit. I fucking hate users. The only time I'm excited about an app is the time between idea first came into my brain and the time that I released the app. That's all the time. It's like I'm meditating. I'm building. I'm telling people I'm running a dictatorship. It's what we're building, whatever. Once this product gets released, now it's like 20,000 people or 200 people telling me and my team what the fuck to do, why this doesn't work and whatever. And I'm like, fuck this. I don't want this anymore. I want to shut this product down. Like, because I don't want feedback from users. This is like my personal pain. You want to use it. You don't want to use it. Go build your own. The last thing I want to hear is feedback from people that before the app released, thought it was a dumb idea. So at least they think they're smart. It's like, dude, didn't you just like 48 hours ago think it was a terrible idea? Then why are you telling me now how it could be better or how it could work? You told me before that it was never going to work, right? And the reason I like to say that is not because I'm antisocial. I hate people. I love people. It's more like, a lot of you guys need to take more ownership in your own life. Like, instead of telling other people what their app should be, why don't you go build your own app? Why don't you do your own thing? Like, don't be in the flow of other people's creative juices. Do your own creativity. I'm trying to level you up to be a creator instead of a fucking commenter, okay? And so what I love about this app is that when good enough, if you do have feedback, I won't be seeing it because, like, only the top feedback will ever come into existence, right? So, like, YouTube comments, yeah, sorry, you don't have comments until you get booted up, you know, boosted up. So basically, the entire internet is like some form of junk mail, okay? It's like 99.9% of the junk is junk mail. That'd be an okay thing if you were looking at the 0.01% anyways. But the fucking hilarious thing is that the way the current internet is set up is they're actually incentivized to show you the junkiest of the junk mail. The Kim Kardashian, like, sex tape, all this bullshit, right? It's like, fine. If I'm wrong about human nature and that shit's gonna get locked up the most, fine, be my guest, have that be the top, okay? Kylie selling perfume, like, what the fuck is going on, okay? Like, someone else licking ice cream, what is going on here, okay? Like, we need to put a fucking vaccine, I love vaccines, okay? Let's spray this vaccine over the entire fucking internet with locked up Bitcoins, and then we'll see what makes it, okay? We don't want this rapping music that's teaching our children to shake their booty, deal drugs, and what the fuck is that, okay? Like, let's extinguish all kinds of nonsense. So it's funny is that by us being degenerate, if you want to call it degenerate, we are literally wiping out the degeneracy existing internet. That's what I want to see.
Amen, brother.
I think we got to lock it up, Alex.
Yeah, like, imagine PSYOP people into something as degenerate as saving their money for the future. It's just crazy of a concept.
Okay. Crazy question here. Sooner or later, since this is built on chain, open source, and interoperable, once this thing like hits the home run, it could very well can, which I think, you know, you hear talking with Benjamin and Jack Liu. I think we're getting closer to this home run. I think that there's going to be a point where this is going to take a life of its own, and then it's going to be Bitcoiners just voting with their locked coins as to what the best ideas are. What do you guys think about that? The wheels come off, in other words. When will that happen? Will that happen?
Maybe this is a boomer idea, but I wish Jack would give be able to clone himself. Like, I wish I could cook like Jack. Like, I wish I had a dev or two that I could be like DMing and be like, yo, here's my ideas, build this. You know, like, I don't have a dev in my pocket to do that. But if we had,
no,
like,
but I don't have a dev in my pocket either. Who the fuck is Zero? I don't know who this guy is. Like, if you are,
so how do I find a dev?
No, you don't. The dev found me. I didn't find a dev. So if you're talking about your stupid like physical world art on the blockchain,
No, I didn't go there. Don't do that. I'm bringing that up.
Sure, but if you can cook something, the devs will come to you. Trust me.
Okay.
Yeah, if your idea is so good and you're able to present it in a compelling enough way, then people will want to build what you're talking about.
It's true. It's true. It's a really good point.
Trump 2024.
You got to pump it up.
Dang, Jack! I've been trying to avoid getting you. I've been trying to avoid you funding my art, and it still haven't. It's all these bad ideas I got. I prefaced it even. I was like, I think this is a boomer idea, but here I go. You gotta be easy on me, Jack.
It's okay, Stonk. I'm gonna commission you to do some work for me, so it's all good, bro. It's all good, bro.
Schwonk, you do your art digitally first, or you do it like on physical like, canvas or something, and then digitize it.
I hand draw everything I do.
Yeah, see, that's why Jack thinks it's boomer, because you're not using a computer.
No, that is not why Jack thinks it's boomer. But
Schwonk, I didn't mean that. You know, I have all love for you and everyone else.
No,
I'm saying that people are giving me flowers like this is the most best app in Bitcoin, whatever. And this is saying, and I have the mindset that no, this app 4 days in is already boomer, is dead. That's way you can trigger your brain to think of the next thing. Have to, like, you know how, like, you can go to the gym, like the way I go to the gym and literally do nothing, check my phone, you know? Or you can do like 15 minute cardio, 8 minute cardio, hit, and like continuous, like go. When you're doing a startup, it used to be, let me think of a centralized idea, and then I'm going to lock all my users in, and then I'm going to have them feed me data, and then they're trapped with me, and then I'll still be the number one 10 years later with the same fucking idea I had 10 years ago. That's not how it works in crypto. How it works in crypto is every idea is obsolete within like 10 days. So you got to be able to continuously innovate, continuously make it better, in a live, interoperable, worldwide competition for dopamine, right?
Right.
For,
I totally get it.
Like, degeneracy. Right?
Yeah, yeah. And so, like,
again,
the other night.
I'm not asking you to be degenerate. I'm just saying this is how this chain is, like,
how about if there was a certain amount of tokens you could pay, and it will fucking delete, kick someone off the thing, and they would have to come in under a new account? Like, it'd be, like, a ridiculous amount. Like, you could take any user and fucking delete his ass.
Yeah, so like the other night, there was like all these really good ideas.
I'll give you 10 out of 10 on creativity on that. I don't know if that works. I don't know if I support that, but that's an idea that like.
But let that flow, like something like that, where like if you put a relic, you could do like you could delete something like.
Yeah. So in the same way that you can be one of the top 12 lockers that gets you a spot on the speakers panel, you should also have the ability to knock someone off the speakers panel by. Just putting a certain amount of locked up, and maybe it's more than they locked up, but you don't want to take their spot. You just want to knock them off or something.
Bro, I want to knock them off the platform. Knock them off the platform.
You guys are badass chefs, all of you. You guys are badass crypto chefs. Keep cooking.
Yeah, I'm telling you, this shit is teachable, man. This is just all this is a Tony Robbins bullshit. Like, inspiring people. Oh, God. Gary Vaynerchuk. All this bullshit, right? That's all bullshit. But like, this way of thinking and like creating is very teachable. It's just most of you guys got psyop in like grade school into like, hey, Bobby, you can't get up from your desk. Class is going on. Don't be such a bully to the guy next to you or the girl next to you. Like, you were basically told to basically live in a jail cell at a school for 16 years of your life. And that's why your brain is unable to like be live, you know? The way this should work is that you're born and you're 3 years old, all those kids asking parents their questions like, hey, why is the sky blue? You should have that level of creativity, and every single year you're adding even more creativity. You shouldn't be losing creativity. That doesn't make any sense, okay? Just like LeBron James, the better basketball player at 26 than he is at 3 years old, you should be a more creative person at least until the age of 26. After that, like, our brains are decaying. Like, I'm not as creative now as I am like 26, whatever, but like you should be super creative. You shouldn't be like get your creativity like out of you by the time you finish school, and then you compensate by smoking weed to get your creativity. It doesn't make any sense. You should be naturally fucking crazy creative.
Dude, man, Jack, you just hit the chord. For a lot of people listening, dude, I think this is the heart of it all, man. Base.
You got PSYOP. I luckily could not be PSYOP, which creates all kinds of other problems for me in the world, right? You can imagine a guy crazy like me, if there wasn't Bitcoin,
what am I doing? What's my purpose in life? What's going on? Right? You know what I mean?
Will you be doing, Jack?
I'd probably be like coaching basketball, because like before I even knew anything about technology, I felt like a lot of my coaches were kind of boomer, but they were very good. I liked my coaches. And I was like, if I was coaching basketball, I'd run these kind of plays. Like my worldview was just limited to the basketball court. So like I would try to coach kids to like play a certain way, have different moves, have different teamworks, different pick and roll sets, different out of bounds plays. Like I would have just expressed my creativity on the basketball court and had a second job paying the bills so I can survive this stupid society and then just coach basketball and take a very low wage. Like I think that was what I was thinking I was going to do. This is when I thought I was never going to go to college. I didn't care about school, etc. Right.
Yeah, fuck school. Yeah. Pump it up, Alex.
Because when you're on a bench, I can scream some kid's face off just like I just screamed at you guys. The same thing, right? Real time. Real time adjustments. Hey, get back on defense right now. Like real time adjustments. There's like a level of dopamine hit and level of satisfaction that is like super fun. You know, it's like leading an army to war, but you don't have to go to fucking war like over the marching like 2 months to get to the battlefield. You're just like coordinating and coaching kids or adults, whatever, in real time, and you can see the feedback loop. It's like, okay, that play didn't work. That was a brick. That was a turnover. This was a I mismanaged the timeouts and whatever. But I want building and creativity on Bitcoin now to work as if it works like that. So if a basketball game lasts 2 hours, your fucking startup should be no more than 2 hours. Okay, is the way you should think about it. And that way, if you monetize $1,000 over 2 hours or $10,000 over 2 hours, you should be very happy because you only spent 2 hours. The reason why people are so concerned about this like kind of monetization thing in startups is because most of you guys, including me before the recent years, had to spend like years and years to like go through the hardship of being a startup. So if your windfall is not $1 million, you're like, why am I doing a startup? I failed. You know, and then that's how you get trapped, just like in education. If your windfall is like a job, a normal job, you have to go through a schooling to make it worthwhile. That's why everyone who goes to school is funneled into trying to be a doctor or a lawyer or something, because you need or banker, some kind of higher paying job to justify all this time you spent in school. So, and it's a vicious cycle. So then the schools charge you even more for this opportunity to become a banker, a lawyer, whatever. And then in startups, the same, because you're like, okay, it takes me so long to go to a startup. I need to get like $1 million, ideally $10 million, ideally $1 billion. Then I guess I have to take on VC. And then all of a sudden the VCs are your new slave masters, and they give you money so that you can be this little guinea pig and trying to make $1 billion for them. And if you fail, they're fine. You're fucked. Right? So they can invest in 100 projects. You can only spend your time on one project. Like, this doesn't make any sense, right? So the way Bitcoin works now is that we have now real-time economy, real-time creativity, and you just cook in real time. If you don't know, like, if you don't know how to build the app, don't build the app. I don't know how to, I have never been interested in learning how to code, okay? But the technologies will always begin to form so that whatever you're good at, the AI will do everything else. So like maybe ChatGPT will code for me, you know what I mean? So if you're good at like rapping, like Alex, I say this with all like endearingness, like it's like you can try doing other things, but if you're just good at rapping and you're just good at rapping about Bitcoin, that itself should make you financially retired. You shouldn't have to do any of this other stuff, you know? And I think Bitcoin and the interconnected social kind of economy will end up maximizing every single person's like uniqueness. And the worst thing you can be in this new economy is sit behind on everything, but know a bit of everything. Like what you want is you want to be ahead at something. You got to be first at something. Like whatever it is, you're first at. You don't have to be first at basketball, because that's LeBron James. You don't even have to be first at anything in the real world today. You can make up an entirely new industry and be first at that. And if you're like top 10%, whatever, you could be the first to recognize that FriendTech was a great app, and you're already retired now, because you just went in there, spent $500 on all these creators, and then done. You now made, you turned $500 into $100,000, right? You can be first to recognize opportunities, first to build something, first to think of an idea, first to draw something, first to wrap something, first to invent something. It's like a constant like cycle. And the more you get to play this game, the more you'll realize that this economy we live in right now, like I was having drinks yesterday with some people from at this event, and they were telling me about, yeah, crypto's so small. The real world got bigger, And I was like, yeah, when the Industrial Revolution first hit in the 1700s, I could be a fucking farmer and be like, Industrial Revolution, agriculture way bigger. Why are you making steamships? why are you making like engines? Why don't you make something for the agriculture economy? I could use like a what is that, lawnmower or something. I could use something like this, like a John Deere truck. I don't need this other stuff you're building. This agriculture bigger, agriculture bigger, agriculture bigger. And then what happened? The agriculture economy did not actually get disrupted. It's still very big, just like it was before. But now the new economy, industrial revolution, computers, radios, TVs, nothing to do with agriculture, is now even bigger than agriculture. So I know crypto is very small. I know Bitcoin's even smaller. BSC is even smaller, right? And you are always tempted about, oh, I want to partner with DS. I want to partner with JP Morgan. I want to partner with like some enterprise because that's bigger, that's bigger, that's bigger. You need to realize that entire economy pre-Bitcoin is the new agriculture economy. And that the post-Bitcoin economy, the creativity, the burst, the whatever the fuck, all that shit, is going to be 10 times, 100 times bigger than the current economy, which itself will actually grow too. Maybe it'll grow even faster than it used to be. If the old economy used to grow like 3-4% a year, maybe now grow to 10% a year. But crypto and Bitcoin's going to grow at 200%, 2,000%, 20,000% per year, right? So it's not one versus the other. It's not I'm here to take down the government, I'm here to take down the banks. There's no actual competition. It's like, let them keep on growing. You avoid that. You create a new economy and you grow 100 times faster.
Yo, like that's how I think. I'm curious, for those who maybe haven't listened to you speak recently or in a while, I actually haven't, I don't know. When I first started listening to you a while back, you were talking more about tokenizing everything. Do you still think that like everything in the world will be tokenized? Like, is crypto going to grow just because it's like of crypto or because blockchain is going to consume the world?
Well, I'm saying the world is very, very small. So I'm not really focused on tokenizing the existing world. I'm not here to tokenize Air Jordans, but what I will tokenize is the new like Wimbanyama shoes. Like I'm here to tokenize things that don't yet, which eventually will be everything. Right? Because like 90% US GDP is by companies that like started in the last 10 years. Like whatever that figure is, right? There's a turnover. The NASDAQ is full of companies that are started in the last 20 years, right? It's not companies that were started 100 years ago. So if you just tokenize the new shit, that will be the same as tokenizing everything. But you're thinking of everything as in everything that right now is boomer will be tokenized. No, fuck that. They can just go away.
Yo, we got to pump it off.
Yo. Yo, Schwank, your profile picture, is that hand drawn by you?
No, it's actually from, it's a few hundred years old. It's an old etching of Christ appearing to Mary Magdalene as a gardener by I can't even pronounce the guy's name, but it's from it's like the late 1600s or 1700s sometime. I don't know. I could get you the exact details if you're curious, right. But it's
I thought I was zooming in. I was like, damn, that's some details. So anyway.
Okay, we're at 509. Like in the last half an hour, we've gotten another $60 locked up. Two more Bitcoins. Rookie numbers, guys. Rookie numbers.
Yeah, Jack's going to shut down the site tomorrow if you guys don't lock up more.
Yeah. I mean, what's the point of keeping the site around? It's got $50,000 of locking. You know, what's that?
I know, man. 5 minutes of 5 seconds of silence. Turn it off. Turn it down. You know, get rid of it. Throw it away.
But yeah, just for anyone who's unclear, like if the site disappeared tomorrow, anybody who had already locked up their coins will still be able to recover the coins. And they're working on being automated since it's only been up for a few days. It's like a manual process, I guess, right now, but it'll be automated soon.
Yeah, even if we don't make it automated, someone else can make it automated. Like, that's what I'm saying. We are not a company. Bitcoin is a company. We just throw shit as creative people. If you want us to keep on throwing shit for 2 years continuously, sure. If you want to work on it for 3 days only and shut down, sure. Like, this is tailored for all those people who have low attention span and just want to cook and then go off and smoke drugs, whatever they do. Like, basically, all the misfits inside that can't hold down a 9-to-5 job, that can't hold down, like, responsibilities, you're welcome here. Bitcoin welcomes you because you don't need to be responsible. Bitcoin is the most responsible person in the world, such that you don't have to. You just have to bring your creativity to Bitcoin.
Damn, how many Bitcoins you got? Because that shit don't fucking grow, right? Like, you must already have a shit ton.
No, I don't have it. I also don't. Like I said, you guys are here to lock. I'm here to dump. Get it? Yeah. So also, like, if you're influential enough, if you have good enough ideas, you don't even need to have Bitcoins to get the mic, because other people can upvote using their Bitcoins to lock it up, so that like someone like me can have the mic if they want me. Like, if you need to vote for yourself, you're a fucking boomer. You should be so good that the whole Bitcoin network votes for you. You know what I mean? If no one else is voting for you, you probably shouldn't lock up your own content too. So that's the other thing that's wrong about HotLocker right now. Right now, HotLocker depends on the person posting a lot to add a whole bunch of lockup, right? What it really should be is that the person posting doesn't add any lockup, and the community adds lockup to the post, okay? But it should work. And then you can go lock up for other people's posts. And then that way we get a community-built database, not like you yourself flaunting that you're rich. That like you flaunt as a result of you upvoting other people's posts. So I think the tipping point for this app will be when new likes on a post surpasses on average the original person adding the lockup. That's one of the indicators.
I'm in the Pulse Chain community, man. I wish our guys could fucking participate in this. It'd be interesting to see. There's a lot of crazy fuckers in Pulse Chain, like super crazy.
Yeah, dude, pay whatever the penalty is and unstake that shit, bro.
Agreed.
Shit, I ain't holding that fucking shit. I'm in something else right now.
You got to pump it up, bro.
Okay. Shout out Zero Locker. Zero, big update just released on hotlocker.com. So check it out. Big update. We got live leaderboard on the homepage with a beautiful UI of the leaderboard. Andreas, the number one at 31.64. Crypto Acorn, number two at 31.12. DeRose, 28.6. If you like any of these top people, you want to see what they've written about, you can go click on their profiles. Take a look. It's a very much cleaned up UI UX. We're now ranking the website, not by latest. We're ranking the website by the top of the past hour. The default on the website is past the top hour. You can filter it by top of the past day. My bad. Top of the past day. You can also see top of the past hour. You can see top of the past week, month, year, all time. You got the latest posting. You got longest posting lockup, which now new record just broke 15 hours ago. 209 million blocks. Okay, 209 million blocks is a new record for longest lockup. I'm going to give you an estimate of how long that is. That is 3,918 years, give or take 50, 100 years. We're talking about 4,000 years of locked up coins behind the data, okay? That means in 4,000 years from now, this will be provably the oldest post that is being unlocked. They will literally have holidays, whatever species is now living in Earth 4,000 years from now, they will be having, like, they will be treating the post the way we look at the Egyptians and the scribbles in the pyramid of Egypt. Okay? That's what's going to happen.
And yo, check out the meme on the nest from Andreas.
Oh, yeah. Lou Locktill Block 21,690,420. That's a sick meme. That block will be a worldwide, universal, multiverse holiday. That block is a holiday because they're like, wow, human beings talked to us from 4,000 years ago, okay? This is the kind of tech that I don't know what the fuck the utility is, okay? People who are hating on me like 2 weeks ago, like, whoa, who would do that? No, your life is so fucking boring. That's why you can't think of who would do that, because you're living contained in this little box of what you call utility and what you call life, okay?
Wait a second. On that note, where's my boy Extra? Did you guys ban him off the site? How come I can't find his message anymore?
Oh, you can find him. He's one of the top all time. He's not in the past day. He's top of the past month. You see that?
Extra pumped it up, bro. We got to sing it for Extra. Pump it for Extra. You got to pump it up, don't you know, pump it up. Yo, somebody's got to outdo Extra, though, bro. What the fuck?
Oh, now I see. I had to click the little three dots to get the hour, day, week filter. Yeah, I'm retarded, so I didn't notice that at first.
Gotta love it, man. I love this cooking vibe, man. This is so cool. And we're just getting started. I feel like this is the beginning of a new Bitcoin culture.